much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to a world of happiness.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G. Ah!
About me in the paper, it's always Star Jones' ex-husband. I want people to know that I'm more than just Star Jones' ex-husband. I'm Al Reynolds.
Tell us about that. Are you gay?
I'm not really a touchy-feely type, but, well, hell, I'll just say it. You're a jackass.
I have an idea. Let me tase you.
No, you can't tase us.
Okay, then. How about a knock-knock joke?
Fine.
Knock-knock.
Who's there?
Get it?
And now,
and the always enjoyable giant inflatable beaver,
our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean show. It is a Tuesday morning.
Speaking of giant inflatable beavers, hi, Lisa.
Oh, hi, Bean.
How are you?
The rumors got to you, huh? I'm good.
I saw the pictures. I didn't even have to listen to the rumors. Hey, speaking of Lisa, before we get into the thing here today on a Tuesday Kevin and Bean show, what's the 5 at the 2? Is that what's happening?
Yes, the Golden State Freeway is completely closed down in both directions.
Only the Golden State? Just the 5?
Just the 5. The closure.
Well, that won't affect too many people.
No. If you're headed northbound, the closure's at Stadium Way, and southbound, it's at Fletcher. So it's in the Elysian Park area near Dodger Stadium, as Bean said, right around the 2 freeway. They're hoping to reopen maybe one main line around 6:15 on the north 5, but I don't know how long the south 5 is going to take.
Nothing. Truck driver.
Yeah, a truck driver, and his truck just burned to bits. And so they're hauling that out now, and then they have a lot of cleanup to
Maybe
do.
He was just cold. He just wanted to get warm.
Right?
So he lit his truck
set a little
fire.
It got out of control.
You don't know.
It was a control burn that got out of control. Happens all the time. So the Hollywood Freeway, obviously the best alternate, but I'm already, when I was coming into work, seeing a lot of extra trucks. So if you're taking the 101, that's going to be really, really busy.
Joy.
So good times, people.
I don't know what happened to that truck, but I saw it on the news, and it wasn't completely tipped over, but like the wheels on one side were all off the ground. It was leaning up against something.
Yeah, it was under the 2 overpass, and I think it slammed through the center divider.
Good times.
All right.
So, I don't know what he was doing.
And the driver
doing.
Was fine, by the way, I heard.
Yep.
Just crazy.
Just sad.
Speaking of trying to get warm, of course, you know, the entire nation has been laughing at the Southern California cold wave.
I don't care. It's butt cold.
They can laugh, but they're not getting their fruit.
I know it's the coldest it's ever been.
Yeah,
I understand
Lisa,
that.
So you tell them. Yeah. How about our fruit you're not going to get?
Our little friend Jimmy Kimmel did a very funny piece a couple nights ago on the news coverage. And, you know, we've for years have mocked the news coverage, not just for if it gets cold. And it has been colder than usual, certainly in Southern California. But if there's a little bit of rain, a little bit of wind, you know, the news just goes into full on, you know, it's the apocalypse mode.
Sure.
And Jimmy was talking about the other night, and I thought it was funny.
It was cold here in Hollywood today. We're having what they call a cold snap. It's so cold, I had to wear 2 tank tops to work today. It's the high today was 55 degrees. Can you imagine? And everyone is freaking out. Last night, the local news here in L.A., the local news in L.A. is hilarious. We really have no idea how silly we would look if people in places like Milwaukee saw how we react when the temperature drops below 55. For the past 24 hours, this is the sort of thing they've been saying on our local weather reports.
And I love Jimmy's staff because I guess they just tape everything. They just must watch every single thing that's on television ever. And then when it comes to time to edit it together, they've got plenty to choose from.
Are you ready for probably 2 of the coldest nights you've ever experienced in Southern California?
And look at the temperatures. Only into the 50s.
Cold, cold, cold. Coming our way.
Beyond the
dinner
cold.
Break.
I took Ryder out yesterday, and I forgot his jacket. And I was like, we have to go home.
We have team coverage on this freezing cold weather.
It's about 48 degrees right now. The skies are clear. It is cold.
I'm absolutely freezing.
Soccer practice tonight meant sweats, gloves, and earmuffs.
How long is this going
to
last?
It's so cold out there.
The extra blanket, the heater, the dog, anything you can do to keep warm, snuggled.
How long will this Arctic blast last?
So please, if you would just say a little prayer for us. We're
How long will this Arctic blast last?
Now I'm feeling stupid because it's really cold.
It was funny to see the kids playing soccer, though, out there with, you know, gloves on and earmuffs and everything like that. So anyway, it's almost over. Apparently, it's going to get much, much warmer. It's supposed to be back into the mid-70s by the weekend.
Fantastic.
So people can relax and live.
Well, listen, Cheryl, I'm not sure I'll make it to the weekend. But
yeah, I understand.
Give it a try. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we? Right. Is that guy saying boo-boo, like Honey Boo-Boo?
That is June, Honey Boo-Boo's mom.
Oh, it is.
And what she's doing there is making fun of, what's the kid? Pumpkin. Making fun of Pumpkin by rubbing on her big fat belly while she's laying in bed.
Oh, that's sweet.
Yeah. And making that noise. That's what June's doing. That's the kind of support Pumpkin is getting from June.
But look at June.
I know.
Right. Those kids don't have a chance.
Pumpkin's going to look like June in 2 years the way she's going. I swear to God, she gained 100 pounds between seasons.
Yeah. We also have Lorenzo Llamas coming into the studio today.
Yeah. Wow.
From the Joe Schmo Show.
Pretty cool.
Which is on again tonight, and I would highly recommend. It's a great show. Jeff Ross will be in studio.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Comedian. Host of The Burn, which is a comedy show. We have comedian Jay Moore in the studio as well.
This is too much.
How about that?
Too much.
And we're going to tell you in about a half hour about the toilet museum and theme park.
Well, if anyone's going to tell you about it, it should be us.
Going on in South Korea. They know how to party in South Korea. So we got that update coming as well. We'll take a quick break and come back with the Showbiz Beatnik.
Whole bunch of chances for you today to go see Muse in concert, sold out at Staples Center. We got those for you several times throughout the program. And then at 9:10, we're going to give you a copy of the Muse's latest album, The Second Law, and qualify you to see them in Paris, France. That's destination number two for the K-Rock World Tour 2013. Get all those details at KRock.com. Hi, Ralph Garman.
Why those sound effects?
It's my excitement noise.
Okay.
Gets everyone excited.
I'm not sure that accomplishes
didn't
that.
Get you excited? Look,
no.
You're all excited.
Okay.
All right. Before I get to showbiz news, how about giving away some tickets to a very cool event? It is Bellator MMA.
Yay!
The Bellator MMA event is happening at the Bren Event Center in Irvine, California this Thursday night, January the 17th. Some great fights, lightweight and featherweight world championships. Hahn versus Chandler and Kerbin versus Pitbull. It is all happening down there in Irvine this Thursday. If you'd like to get tickets, you can go to Bellator.com. That's Bellator.com. Enter the promo code MMAKROQ. That'll give you $10.67 off of any ticket, and you'll receive a free K-Rock Bellator t-shirt. However, if you want to go and you don't want to spend the money, you're a cheap bastard! But I can't say that I blame you. I've got a ticket to give away right now. A 4-pack of tickets to see the Bellator MMA event at the Bren Center this Thursday night. Call right now. 1-800-520-1067. Caller number 17. Since it's on January the 17th, caller number 17. To get through with that number, we'll get a 4-pack of tickets. And don't forget, if you can't attend at all, it is, of course, on Spike TV this Thursday night. Spike TV, of course, the home of all great television and entertainers.
Not all.
That's their slogan.
Is it?
Spike TV. We only feature the best. Tonight at 10 p.m., Joe Schmo Show.
I'm sorry?
Spike TV. The Joe Schmo Show tonight at 10 p.m. on Spike TV.
Wow.
Featuring myself and the luscious Mr. Lorenzo Llamas, who's coming in later today. I'm
luscious.
Very excited.
It's not a word I would
use. Have you seen him in his European casual pouch?
I haven't. I have.
He is luscious.
I don't know that I'd go with luscious.
I don't know how many testicles he's got going on down there, but there's a lot of bulging going on. I'm very impressed. All right, let's get to some showbiz news. Britney Spears apparently had a very good reason for quitting her job on The X Factor. There's been a lot of stories swirling around about what was happening. Producers weren't happy with her performance. She wanted to get back to her true love, which is music. Now, RadarOnline.com is reporting what really happened is she went to the producers and said, I'll do another season for a raise of $3 million.
Wait, what was she making before?
15.
Wow.
$15 million for the one season that she did where she was basically just nodding her head going, amazing.
Yeah, she added nothing, as I understand it.
She was the Huell Hauser of The X Factor. That is amazing. Wow.
This is magical.
Wow. You sure can eat an avocado. The producers had decided that she wasn't worth the extra money. I'm sure they decided she wasn't worth the money they were already giving her.
15 already.
So now she's moving on with her life. But don't feel bad for poor Britt, because the rumor now is she's making a deal with Caesar's Palace in Las Vegas, Nevada.
Is that right?
To do one of those residency sit-down performance deals.
Those seem like all the rage.
Look,
she just does one show a night or something.
If you're a performer,
yeah.
Would you rather get on a plane every 2 days and travel around the world, or just sit down? They give you the penthouse suite there at Caesars, and you perform there in one city for, I don't know, a year or whatever it takes. I don't know how long the deal's going to be. But it sure must be an easier life, right?
I would think so.
And there are a lot of people who do that who live in L.A. who just fly back and forth every night.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Or however often they do the show. Yeah, I'm sure she does.
This is going to be bad for her.
No, she's broken up with her boyfriend.
Yeah.
She's going to live in Vegas. Oh, good times are coming, people.
Yeah, I think so.
She's going to stay in business for another year.
Here's what her deal is. Again, this is just the rumor. A rumor deal of $100 million for Britney Spears.
Good Lord.
They did the math, and it would mean she would be making roughly $1 million a night.
Wow.
In her residency there. And ticket prices? What do you think you're going to cost? It's going to cost you to go see Britney Spears in Las Vegas.
It would have to be $300, $400.
$650.
No.
Who's going to pay that?
They're overestimating who's going to pay that.
Who's going to pay that?
Wow.
I mean,
not her problem. Not her problem, right? Once she makes the deal.
If that's the VIP, you know, up, you know, first five rows, meet and greet backstage, maybe people will pay that. But for the general public, I can't imagine you could get away with more than $100, $150 for that.
For $650, they should give me a miner's helmet and a speculum. That's the kind of view I should have of that show. Oh, now, thank you. Brittany thought that was funny. Thank you.
You guys find yourselves in Las Vegas from time to time. Mm-hmm. Would you have any interest in going to see Britney Spears if you were there?
I couldn't be led there by my testicles. If you had a grip on my nads and were dragging me somewhere, I wouldn't be able to go to see that show.
Probably not, but all bets are off when I'm drunk.
That's true.
Yeah. All of a sudden, that sounds super good.
If Kevin gets on the party bus. We need a party bus. Where's this bus going? Britney Spears comes. Okay, everybody on the party bus.
Good enough.
And by the way, Kevin, if you're with the king, he would drag you anyway.
Oh, yes, yeah,
he would. You'd have to go. He would insist.
Looks like the true event after the Golden Globes on Sunday was not the awards itself, but the partying afterwards.
Oh.
A lot of people were seen having a good time, including Damian Lewis, who, of course, won for Homeland. He apparently was on the dance floor, according to the New York Post, doing the Gangnam Style dance.
Is that right?
I knew he was a terrorist. I don't know if I want to see Damian Lewis out there doing the horse thing.
I do.
Gangnam Style. Really?
Sure.
Kind of takes the edge off his performance as that scary character in Homeland, doesn't it? See him galloping around the floor to size hit?
Yeah. Just because it would be weird.
A lot of people were having a good time. Heidi Klum was apparently partying with Nathan Fillion from Castle, our buddy from Castle. And reportedly, while they were dancing, she pantsed him.
Nice!
Grabbed his pants, pulled him down.
Nice!
I hope he was wearing a European casual pouch or something to protect his assets there. But sounds like everybody was having a good time. Jennifer Lawrence and Bradley Cooper were seen hobnobbing after the events as well. Looked like they were a couple. A lot of people were speculating that maybe the two of them were hitting it off. She is newly single. So was he. He was dating Zoe Saldana. That's all over. She was dating
she's way hot. Halt.
She is very hot. She's adorable. But they were kidding with Entertainment Tonight after the fact, saying, Bradley said, I'm literally old enough to be her father, and so it's never going to happen.
That's never stopped people before.
Yeah, really. Not in show business, that's for sure. He is, for the record, he's 38 and she's 22. Not as big a difference as some might say, especially when she looks like that. I'd say, I'm getting younger every minute. Let's get to showbiz, the birthdays. Birthdays for today. Of course, January the 15th, celebrating a birthday. Lisa of Lisa Lisa and the Cult Jam, bitches.
Wow.
Woo!
Got to get us some head to toe, no, some lost in emotion. Got to get some of that going
emotion
today. She blew.
She was the awesomest.
What's your problem with Lisa Lisa, Kevin?
She blew.
They threw Kevin out of the Cult Jam. That was the problem. That's why he was so angry.
Is that what it is?
She is 46 years old today. Actor Chad Lowe celebrates his 45th birthday. Actor Eddie Cahill from CSI New York turns 35. Singer-songwriter Howie Day is 32. Rapper Pitbull.
Pitbull. This is my Pitbull music with hot chicks and Bud Light.
He's 32 years old.
And he's fighting Thursday night, you said, right?
That's a different pit bull. And Skrillex celebrates his 25th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
I just can't believe Jeffrey Ross and Jay Moore are both on the same show. It's like April Foolishness in January up in the Kevin and Bean show today, isn't it? It's crazy.
Up in. Nice. Nice work.
It's an expression, man. You got to get out there with the kids every once in a while. I like going to the unusual roadside attractions, as you know. That's my whole thing. I mean, you know, I went to the radio museum when I was in Stockholm over the summer. I love museums. I just love seeing what people put together.
Love like the world's largest boot that we had to stop at in Texas, and you love the world's largest ball of twine.
Right.
I enjoy world's largest also, but we're talking about museums here. And I love going, I mean, I've been to the, you know, obviously I've been to the post office museum, but I mean, there's museums all over this great country, all over this great world that I go to, and I'm always interested to hear about new, you know, museums dedicated to topics that otherwise wouldn't get the attention. I don't know that this is one I'm going to.
How would you not want to go to South Korea's toilet theme park?
It's right up your alley.
How would you not want to go to that?
I do not have the same fascination with toilets that a lot of people on this show do, Omar.
Right. No, I can understand that. And I don't, but it's an entire theme park / museum dedicated to the toilet.
Look,
to go just to say, what's this all about? I mean, you really have to check it out.
Even before you get inside the toilet museum, which is shaped in the shape of a toilet, even before you get in it, you got to walk past all of the statues of the guys squatting out in front on the yard.
Yes, covered in gold.
You would love that.
Well, I don't want to see. I'm not interested in that.
You are.
How could you not be?
Look, if you
take
one thing away from today's show, it's that pooping is private.
Not in South Korea, it's not. I'll tell you that. I just posted the video on Twitter at the Kevin Ryder, and it is spectacular. The BBC did a report on it, and here's some of that report.
Welcome to South Korea's one and only toilet park, a theme park devoted exclusively to the culture.
Come on, it's a theme park. It's not just a museum. There's got to be rides and stuff, right?
I love it.
And food?
Oh, no, not food.
Of toilets. This place was built in memory of Suwon's former mayor, a man affectionately known as Mr. Toilet.
Come on! There was a mayor of that town who was known as Mr. Toilet.
How devastated is DJ Omar Khan that he's not Mr. Toilet?
He was reportedly born in his grandmother's loo.
All right, I'd just like to clarify. Loo is, of course, another word for toilet.
Yes.
This dude was supposedly born in his grandmother's toilet.
And that's why the lifelong fascination with the toilet?
That's what they say, but I mean, I can't imagine that you remember when and where you were born. So how does
you
that...
You wouldn't.
No,
and
he would have been told
a lifelong
that.
Obsession with promoting better public toilets.
Oh, that's sweet, isn't it?
So much so that he even built a toilet-shaped house to live in.
All right, so the toilet-shaped house is literally that. Look at this picture, Lisa. It is.
Wow.
If you look at it from the air, if you're in an airplane and you fly over it.
That's his house?
It's in the shape of a toilet. Yes.
What does that look like inside, I wonder?
Oh, well, you'll find out.
Okay.
Now converted to a museum. Complete with the original toilet.
Of course, you want the original one. You want the one where the guy was born. Because that's history right there.
Do they have famous toilets through history? I mean, is you know, the toilet Elvis died on, is that in the museum?
I don't know if they collect them from around the world. I'm not sure. It was hard for me to get past the guys, like Lisa was saying, squatting in the front.
In gold.
Covered in gold. That just seems like a photo op that you wouldn't be able to pass up.
The mayor's interest in toilets and his embarrassment at South Korea's old-fashioned public conveniences sparked a sort of toilet revolution here in Suwon.
Look at that. That guy started a revolution.
He sure did.
Crazy, right?
That's a big deal.
What about all of the artwork, the paintings on the wall of toilets? What about that?
How? You're there. Let's say you're there. You're in South Korea.
Yes, I'm in South Korea.
How do you not go to this place?
If I lived in South Korea for my entire rest of my life, I would not go to this place.
If you lived in this house, you wouldn't see the rest of it.
I wouldn't see it, right.
Now, the city not only attracts toilet-related artwork and holds the locally renowned Golden Poop Art Festival.
Okay, all right, I'm out. I gotta go. Seriously, I gotta go.
They have an entire festival called the Golden Poop Festival.
Come on.
Are you kidding me?
And I thought South Korea was the good guys. I thought North Korea was the honked up ones.
And we've been wasting our time with the ones in Southern California. It's a poop festival.
It also lists dozens of its public toilets as tourist sites on the city council website.
That's right. So you go there and you want to see the sites. They list certain public toilets to go check out because they're the good ones, I guess.
We just to focus on eating every day. We sometimes overlook the importance of a toilet.
All right, now this is their spokesperson who has a really tough job. Because can you imagine being like, somebody's job is to defend the toilet museum and theme park. You know, she has to do interviews with guys like us all day long.
Yeah, she does PR and promotion for that. And,
right.
And her message is, don't think much about the food going in. We want to talk about the food coming out.
But
right?
We already know. Upon waking up in the morning, we should go to toilet.
All right.
But people don't want to talk about this.
Right.
So we just dedicate to public and toilet culture. So it means toilet is not only toilet for us. Toilet can be cultural space.
It can be a cultural space.
Wait.
A toilet is a nice cultural space. Like, let's say you have a couple of hours to burn.
Uh-huh.
You go hang out in the toilet.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
And it's a so important space for health, sanitation.
Now, she's going to try and hold it together here, but she does start laughing at the end.
And water conservation. So we call this kind of the culture, toilet culture like this.
What do they
we call
it?
This kind of culture the toilet culture, and she starts laughing.
Even she realizes how ridiculous her job is.
Most of those here at the park today were under 5.
All right, so maybe the average age is younger than me.
Sounds about right.
The kind of audience perhaps most curious about the attractions offered here. But then South Koreans are less squeamish anyway about this kind of thing.
Please be done.
Happy to immortalize their most intimate ritual.
Isn't that enough?
Be done with Mr. Toilet?
Yes, I'm done with Mr. Toilet.
The
Come
habits,
on.
The history, the facial expressions, and yes, even the poop.
Even the poop.
Oh, no.
The facial expression?
Wouldn't you like to see, like, you walk into a room, it's a long hallway, and there's artwork on both sides of the wall of the facial expressions?
People squatting with facial different facial expressions?
Come on, Dean.
I'm out. I'm sorry.
They have a poop festival.
I can't.
They have a festival of poop.
I just can't, but have a great day. Michael emails, by the way, hey, guys, if you go to the toilet museum, bring me back an apple cider and an O. Henry bar from the snack bar. Nope. Not going to bring you any foods or drinks that look like either of those. Hey, listen, tomorrow, very, very special program. Not that today is anything to snicker at, but tomorrow, our man Dave Grohl stops by in the 8 o'clock hour. And is there anyone we enjoy spending time with more than Dave Grohl?
Yes, Taylor Hawkins.
Okay, maybe Taylor Hawkins. Dave will be here tomorrow, along with his good friend and ours, Corey Taylor from Slipknot and Stone Sour. And the reason they are coming in is because the Sound City movie is getting ready to be released. We've been hearing about it for a long time. This is the documentary that Dave Grohl has been spearheading. He's been working on it for like 2 years, all about that fantastic studio where some of Nirvana's Nevermind was recorded and lots of classic albums throughout the year. And it's just a studio that musicians just loved. And he's made a documentary about it. And the Los Angeles premiere is coming up of Sound City at the Cinerama Dome on January 31st. Now, check this out. This is very important information. Of course, you can get all of this at krock.com or kevinandbean.com also. Not only do you see the movie on January 31st, but there's a concert afterwards at the Palladium by what they're calling the Sound City Players, which is going to be a ton of people. All the Foo Fighters are going to be playing in what incarnation, we don't know. Rick Nielsen from Cheap Trick is going to be there. Rick Springfield is going to be there. Brad Wilk from Rage. Lee Ving from Fear. John Fogerty. Stevie Nicks. I mean, the list just goes on and on and on. And they're just going to be getting together and doing this superstar concert. These are all people who, I guess, are in the movie and love this Sound City studio. And you can't buy tickets for this event at all. The movie and the concert are happening on January 31st. Well, you can buy tickets, but only, you know, tomorrow at noon. Wednesday at noon via Ticketmaster is when you can buy those tickets. You can buy tickets for that event.
Okay.
Yes, you can buy tickets for that event. But that's it. It's just a one-time deal. They're not selling tickets for the premiere, it says here.
I got you.
So anyway, so you can pre-order the film. You can get tickets for the event tomorrow at noon, and you can hear all about it with Dave Grohl and Corey Taylor tomorrow here on the Kevin Bean Show. But you should definitely. I mean, how much fun does that night sound?
Yeah, it sounds like a great
amazing
time.
Yeah, and the documentary just looks incredible, too. So get all those details at krock.com or kevinandbean.com, and then make sure to join us tomorrow. Dave Grohl and Corey Taylor in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show talking all about this stuff tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock right here on the world-famous
106.7 KROQ is KROQ, and you are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:39.
Funny man Jay Moore joins us in about 20 minutes. Ralph's got the showbiz beat in minutes as well. Jeffrey Ross later on the program. A lot of good stuff coming up. Hey, I'm glad David King of Mexico stepped back in. Hi, King. How are you, man?
Hey. How's it going?
We didn't get a chance to talk enough about your trip to Australia and the way you violated that poor little wombat.
I didn't violate it. I gave it a nice hug and a nice peck on the back of its neck.
Yeah, we put the picture up. People can make their own minds.
Tell us about Tonka the wombat that you went to visit, because this wombat is pretty famous in the country of Australia, right?
Yeah. It's at the place called the Billabong Sanctuary. And what it is, because you're not allowed to touch these animals anywhere else but this place.
Right.
So people, you know, travel to this place and get to hug a wombat.
Now, the reason that you planned your Australia trip for, I think, 2 years?
It was about 2 years.
Was?
To hug a wombat.
This is the main reason Dave went to Australia.
I didn't go for Sydney. I didn't go for
Melbourne.
Not for
the Great Barrier Reef. Nothing. Not for any of that stuff. Swimming with the sharks, which he ended up doing.
Yeah, I did all that. But
to hug a wombat was really the only reason that he decided he needed to go to Australia.
And it was great because, you know, I just Googled, you know, where can I hug a wombat? And this place popped up. But a couple of, last year, the story came out where there was a depressed wombat, and I was shocked when I realized.
How can you tell if a wombat is depressed?
Well, it lost a lot of weight. It lost a lot of weight after a cyclone.
You need to get depressed, Dave.
Yeah, yeah, right? I need to get depressed
a lot.
yeah, but I was really shocked and really kind of happy. I was like, dude, we were talking about this wombat, and here I am hugging it and giving it a little kiss on the back of the neck.
I'm just saying, the wombat is on your lap.
It is.
But its little front paws are like reaching out, like, please get me off of
it's
this.
Trying to get away.
It's trying to get away.
Sure.
It's
and enjoying Dave is my hanging on for dear life.
He is.
And those things are heavy, man, and they're tough.
You can tell that Dave is forcing his will on Tonka.
Yes.
Tonka to is a rear naked choke, you know.
Not like, happy at that moment.
How much time did you spend with Tonka at the sanctuary?
Well, I traveled 14 hours to get to Australia. A minute.
One minute.
I love that.
Okay, maybe a minute and a half.
And how long did Tonka want you to spend with it?
Oh, more.
About
hours.
5 seconds?
I almost went into the pan with it, you know? I wanted to go burrow with it.
So your story, Dave, before we go to a dissenting opinion, is that Tonka enjoyed meeting you and had a good time there at the sanctuary that
Tonka
day.
Tonka loved it. He was so happy. They told me that he has never been happier.
Is that what they told you?
He gained weight just by...
You're such a liar.
Yeah, that's what they told me. They go, he's never been happier and he's never met anyone from the United States. So,
they tell everyone that.
They do, yeah.
No, just me.
Let's find out if that's actually what happened, because today we have a surprise for you. Tonka the depressed wombat is actually on the phone with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show right now.
Tonka?
Hello.
Hi, Tonka. How you doing, buddy?
I'm not feeling so good.
Are you still depressed?
Yes, I'm still depressed. More than ever.
I thought that you would be all happy now that you got a chance to meet Dave from the United States. You remember him, the big fat Mexican?
Oh, how can I forget?
No.
Tonka, we had a good time.
Tonka.
So sad.
What happened? Because it looks to me, I'm guessing from the photo, that things went terribly wrong.
I was minding my own business.
Right.
Eating some Purina wombat chow.
Right. Uh-huh.
And the next thing you know, my handlers come in the pen and say, oh, we've got a surprise for you.
Okay.
And the next thing I knew, I was on his lap and he wouldn't let me go.
Oh.
Well, now, Dave says he was just hugging you to get a good photo.
He started kissing the back of my neck.
Yeah, ooh.
Creepy.
Well, and what did you think about that?
It was horrible.
Yeah.
And I felt his clammy hands all over me.
Oh, you rubbed your hands all over him?
I had to. Oh.
And the next thing I know, he's whispering in my ear, oh, you're going to leak the ice.
And he meant like this,
yeah,
right?
I don't even know what that meant. Why
translation.
Can't you guys speak English?
We speak, Dave.
That's a good question.
He said you're going to like this, and then what happened?
Well, next thing I knew, I felt something in his lap.
No.
Hey, that's what I, is this a surprise to anybody? Look at the photo.
Dear God.
I thought he was trying to offer me a lifesaver.
Right.
Right. Or perhaps a tum. But instead, I believe it was something else.
Tonka.
Reminded me of the time I met that guy who did the voice of Elmo.
Oh, you've got terrible luck.
You really have.
This is why I moved to Townville.
Yeah, I wonder why you're depressed.
After Village Glen. Because I was trying to avoid this kind of thing. And I'm already depressed, and now this happens. I'm accosted by a guy with a neck beard.
We're so sorry.
You're the victim.
Tonka!
This is terrible, Dave.
Still? It's been a week and a half. Still?
I still have his fingerless glove stuck somewhere.
Jay Moore coming up after the top of the hour. Ralph Garman here now. Warming up for Jay Moore, by the way. You're his opening act today.
Yeah!
With the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Yeah! All right. Good guy. Nice band.
I'm so glad Jay's doing that show over on Fox Sports Radio, by the way.
Me too.
Gives me something to listen to on the ride home after the show here. When I'm listening, I can hear the last couple hours of his show, and it's very entertaining.
Not that we're not listening to K-Rock full time.
Oh, I'm not. I'm sorry, was I not supposed to say that?
No,
I thought we were being honest here for a second.
We're not being honest.
Yeah, he's real good, so I look forward to congratulating him on his new gig. It is Tuesday. That means new CDs and DVDs are available for your entertainment dollar. Here's what's new in stores and online. You can pick up Fade by Yola Tengo. Check that out if you want to. Long Live ASAP by ASAP Rocky. What nation am I in? What are these bands? Are these
rap
musical
world.
Acts?
Rap.
Are these gentlemen who create music of some kind? I'm not familiar with any word I've just said. On DVD, Taken 2, with my boy Liam Neeson. Liam Neeson has a huge personality.
Yes, he does.
Maggie Grace, Famke Jensen, also a star in the sequel to the popular Taken. The Possession, starring my buddy Jeffrey Dean Morgan and Kira Sedgwick. This was the story about that girl. Remember with the box and the thing and the hole and opening up and the thing and the hole?
Yeah. No, but I'm afraid of everything you just said.
Remember they get this box? It's on the... flea
market. It's an actual cardboard box, though.
It's a wooden box.
Okay, good. All right.
And it's got like the ghost of 1,000 Holocaust survivors in it or something.
No.
Horrible. A little girl gets possessed. What's wrong with... Don't you remember this?
I don't. Was it yesterday?
To Rome with Love, the Woody Allen film with Jesse Eisenberg. There was a Woody Allen film that came out?
Yes. Hmm. That was after his Paris movie. He came out with a Rome movie that did...
do not recall the Rome
did
movie.
Did not set the world on fire.
And About Cherry, starring James Franco and Ashley Hinshaw and Heather Graham. It's about this young girl who gets into porn. It's supposed to be depressing. I didn't find it depressing at all. I found it quite arousing. So you can check that out as well. Those are your new things you can pick up. Russell Crowe trying to patch up his relationship with his longtime wife, Danielle Spencer. Apparently things are not working out. He recently said that to the press that he wants to bring his family back together, but rumors are swirling that he is spending, let's call it quality time, with Dita Von Teese. Hard to bring your marriage back together when you're giving Dita Von Teese a sponge bath and a champagne glass.
I can see that.
New York Post is reporting that the two of them got a couples massage at the Four Seasons Hotel last month. Is that a euphemism, the couples massage?
I don't know.
And that he's been retweeting some of her more risque posts, so something may be going on there.
Look, I don't know much about anything, but that's not how you win your wife back.
Unless she's really hot for Dita Von Teese.
Well, maybe
he's going to bring her home. Maybe it's a gift. This disturbs me, and we need to do more research, and sadly the details are a little shaky. But according to Star Magazine, Kim Kardashian recently received a police escort after her workout to Jamba Juice.
No.
I know it sounds like I'm playing Mad Libs.
There's no way that's true.
But porn star Kim Kardashian received a police escort from her workout to Jamba Juice because the paparazzi were so manic.
No.
I hope Kanye West was footing the bill of this deal. I hope it didn't come out of taxpayer money.
Oh, seriously. You know you and I were paying for it. You know that.
Well, I don't know that, and that's why I want to get to the bottom of this. I'm going to do a little more research. I'll come back next hour. I'll come back with a little more details of the story. But that's not right.
She needed a Jamba Juice, Ralph.
Maybe she's Harvey Levin given this. Oh, no, I forgot. He's on the Kardashian payroll! And pays no attention to these people whatsoever. I don't know how he ignores them. Something's up. At least I got some Broadway news for you. I know you love your Broadway.
I do.
The musical based on the Tim Burton 2003 film Big Fish is finally on Broadway.
Oh. Show. Interesting.
It's coming this year. Actually, it's not on Broadway. It's September. It's set for September. But they've been workshopping it out of town. They say now it's ready for the Great White Way, and it's totally very entertaining, and everyone's going to have a good time.
Right. I love that movie.
I did, too. I love that film.
Great movie.
While we're talking about movies that are being turned into successful Broadway shows, who knows more about that than Mel Brooks?
Yeah.
Who took his early film, The Producers, which was about mounting a Broadway show, and then turned it into a Broadway show, which then that version became a movie.
About making a Broadway show.
About making a Broadway show. A movie. It's like holding a mirror behind you and looking into a mirror. It's endless. Anyway, he announced this week that he is talking about turning Blazing Saddles, another one of his early films, into a musical.
Interesting.
I would be very much on board with that. He did the same thing with Young Frankenstein, you may remember, not to the same success that the producers had. But Blazing Saddles as a musical could definitely be entertaining. He said, a lot of it is musical already. It has a rather fanciful and fantastic tone to it. Especially when they're sitting around the campfire eating beans.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of tones coming out of that scene. Can you imagine a song in a Broadway musical
auto-tuned
about a bunch of guys sitting around a campfire eating beans, just blasting? That would be a big musical number.
I love it.
And each guy would have a different note, a different tune, and you could play a tune based on the guys releasing their gases.
Well, if they don't have the world premiere at the South Korea Toilet Museum.
He's also encouraged because he said, now that Django Unchained has literally used the N-word, I think I'm in the clear. Because he does use that in Blazing Saddles a couple times. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Chad Lowe, very talented actor. Pretty Little Liars, 24.
How weird is it? Oh, wait, Chad Lowe? You're not talking about Rob Lowe's brother, Chad, are you?
Yes, Chad Lowe.
Did you just say he was 24, though?
I did not. He's on 24. He was on 24,
okay,
the TV show.
That's what confused me. That's why I was confused.
Why don't you just wait for the whole thing to come out, man, for jumping all over me?
You said Chad Lowe, Pretty Little Liars,
24.
And I thought that was his age.
Is 45 years old today. If you let me finish a sentence, you would get all the information you need.
It's just weird to have another reference to Chad Lowe this week after we haven't heard from him in years, and then he just got a shout out at the Golden Globes the other night.
He's an asshole.
You want an Oscar? Pitbull's 32 years old today. Skrillex is 25 years old. And Lisa of Lisa, Lisa and the Cult Jam.
Balls.
What?
Hey.
That was their biggest hit.
No, it was not.
Wow, is that crap?
That's awesome. How do you not shake your groove thang when you hear that?
I shake my groove thing all the time, but not
thang.
To that.
Get it right.
Thang.
Your groove thang.
Yeah, but not to that.
Oh, lost in emotion. Next hour, head to toe, baby. She's 46. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Our fellow radio colleague Jay Moore joins us in studio now on the Kevin Abid
Show. Yes! Yes!
Wait, now, that's me.
Yes!
That's you, yes. Jay, who of course has been one of America's top stand-up comedians for all these years, very popular podcast host, now doing a radio show too. You're going to have to give something up, Moore, as you can't do it all, you know.
You know what I'm going to give up?
What?
Smoking crack. I'm done.
Really?
I'm giving it up.
How much time will that buy you a day?
That'll buy me a good hour.
Okay.
A good hour to myself and my thoughts. I don't have to, you know, I'll actually have to touch my body to take my pulse now. I won't be able to just count the heartbeats through my rib cage like I used to.
Jay, how did this happen? We were delighted at the news that you were going to be doing the sports show on AM 570, but I was frankly surprised because it seems like you already have a pretty full plate with the family and the other careers that you have.
Well, I have always wanted to do sports radio, and then Jim Rome moved to CBS. So they had to fill that spot, and so then I had to do like a bunch of test shows, and I did test shows, and they anointed me the successor. Successor? Mm-hmm. Some days it's successor. LOL. TTYL. LMA. Ba-dum-bum. So, then I get the job. And Bean, you know this more than anybody. I only have one discernible skill, and it's talking incessantly.
Yes.
So I now have a job where I get, for 15 hours a day, I just get 15 hours a week, excuse me. I get to talk all the time. And if you want to put it in perspective, that's really only one day at, like, Ghost Whisperer, 15 hours.
That's true.
So my whole line of week, my week workload is one day at CSI Miami.
Well, Jay, it looks like radio just got more.
Oh, it's not as funny without the drop.
You do need the sting.
Without the drop, it's terrible. Yeah.
Sorry, don't have the sting. So,
what do you mean you don't have the sting?
I don't think we have it.
We don't use that. That's not our bit. We don't use that. Hey, listen. I'm fascinated,
yes,
because I'm a radio geek, as you know. And
I'm
only
fascinated
like
that you gave
radio.
A person your kidney.
Yeah, don't worry about that. But listen.
That's an altruistic, incredible thing. And I know you can sidestep it, but I haven't been in here since that happened. And I got to tell you, when I read that, I was brought to tears at the article you wrote. Literally brought to tears. I know people throw that around a lot. And I thought, son of a gun, this cold, weird, Asperger-y guy has a heart of damn gold. And I don't know if I'd be giving up organs to somebody.
It's not a big deal.
If it's not your kid or your wife or somebody like that.
Yeah, yeah. And it was like a guy of a different race entirely, right?
Yes.
Is that true?
An engineer, yes. A guy of a different race.
An engineer. Whoa.
I don't want to get sidetracked on this. It's not a big deal to give up an organ. It's super easy, and I'm completely 100% back to normal a few weeks later. And the beautiful thing is that Scott is doing great, too, and he'll probably live, you know, many more years as a result of the kidney. But he comes back to work tomorrow, by the way, Scott Mason does. So he's doing great. Everybody's great. But let's move on. What happened with you and Jim Rome when you were filling in for him and you guys were buds, and then basically you go across the street, take his job, and now you're his competitor?
Well, I didn't take his
job. Was that weird?
No. Hold on a second. I didn't take his job. He left his job.
He left,
set
right?
Up
right.
Shop. He left Fox to go set up a shop at the company across the street. So it's
of
not,
course, but that means you are on opposite each other in throughout most of the United States.
He's not really on in L.A. His station comes out of Mexico
yet.
And barely.
Yet.
Well, okay. We'll see how
I'm
it
just
goes.
Saying. I'm just wondering if it was
it's
weird. That's all.
It's not weird for me. Because to me, it's just a dream job. It wasn't like I'm taking Jim's job.
He didn't get fired.
No, he said, I'm out of here. I'm going to go to CBS.
Right.
And then they needed somebody. If I don't take it, they're going to give it to somebody else.
Sure.
Yeah.
So, I don't think I'll be at his, on his Christmas card list anytime soon.
I used to listen to Jim Rome. And he, of course, is, the best. But I always, and I told you this off the air, I always liked it more when you would fill in.
Thanks,
than when he was on, because a sportscaster with a sense of humor almost doesn't exist.
Yeah, I don't know why the fun came out of like sportscasting.
Big
it seems
time.
To be like all data all the time.
Yep.
Petros and Monty are super fun.
Yes,
in the afternoon, like they're
but they stand out because of that.
Yeah, they're more as Chris Farley, as the motivational speaker, would say, "Muy freaking comico." Mi ojo's not too good. Is that Paul Rodriguez over there? I'm sure you guys covered the Golden Globes
sure.
ad nauseum. I like Tommy Lee Jones turning into "Get off my lawn" guy. In
Wasn't
front of our
that
eyes.
Great?
Get
he was miserable.
Off my lawn.
That was awesome.
He's not only angry, but that face could hold a 5-day rain. My God.
He is
Ty Cobb. He's Ty Cobb now.
What did you think of Bill Murray?
I didn't see
Bill Murray with
Murray.
His facial hair. You just
crazy.
I didn't see it. I was in and out. I was watching.
What a freak of nature that guy is. I love him.
Bill Murray?
Yeah, love him, but freak of nature.
Yeah, he looked like he came right out of the 1890s.
Hopefully.
He really did.
I was a little bummed that Jodie Foster's like pseudo coming out like... just if you're going to come out maybe when you win the Oscar. You could do people a lot of good. There's a lot of gay and lesbian, transgender kids out there that could really benefit from your message when you're at the height of your game. Like, hey, America, look how much you love me. Guess what? I like pizza box. And then it really means something.
That's very eloquent.
She barely did it even now.
Radio Bean.
Yeah. No, I know. And you know.
She barely did it even now, but it was surrounded with nonsense.
Yeah, it was pretty weird.
You couldn't figure out what the hell she was talking about.
It was pretty surreal and bizarre. And then, it makes you really harken back to the glory days of acceptance speeches when Joe Pesci won for Goodfellas and went, "It's a pleasure, thanks."
That's
he walked up the stage. I think he brought his date on with him.
Pleasure how? What's so great about an award? They give it away every year, you stutter and prick you.
It was a different time. But you're right. It did create a lot. It muddied the waters about Jodie Foster because we all thought we knew what was going on with her, and now we're just confused, and now we're worried about her because she seems like she's in a bad place.
I heard Bruce Valanche is going on Oprah to make an announcement next week.
Is that right?
Yeah. I don't know what's going to happen.
I wonder what he'll say. Shocking.
I wish Lance Armstrong's admission was, because they teased it for like 2 weeks.
Let's talk about that. That's on Oprah Thursday, I think.
She's got her own network. That's when you're really balling. Sure. Any rapper that thinks they got it going on, like any Lil Wayne, Jay-Z, any Russian billionaire that owns an NBA team,
right.
Oprah has a network called OWN, Oprah Winfrey Network. And her initials actually synced up.
That's true.
You know what I mean? Like, I'd be JFCM.
That doesn't work as well.
Yeah, that's more like radio call letters in Iowa.
Jay, you'll appreciate this as a radio guy. Let's pause this conversation so we can talk some more about this Lance Armstrong thing, because I don't care whether he was juiced or not. I really don't, but a lot of people really, really seem to, and I want to hear what you have to say about it when we come back. Jay Moore is here. By the way, don't you have some upcoming gates? You're at the Ontario Improv,
Inland
right?
Inland Empire 909 represent. I'm at the Ontario Improv Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Let's get it going.
Tickets are available through IrvineImprov.com to see the great Jay Moore on stage. More with our guests right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Funny man, Jay Moore at the Ontario... Sorry, Jay, got to get in the plug. At the Ontario Improv Thursday through Sunday. Tickets are available now at IrvineImprov.com. Just $30. You can also hear Jay on the radio 9 to noon on AM 570, the Jay Moore Sports Show. Hey, what is Norm MacDonald thinking about all this Lance Armstrong controversy over the Oprah interview?
Yeah, you keep a ball in here, you know? Yeah, that's the thing with Lance Armstrong.
Yeah.
He only has one ball.
Right. That's right, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I just see a guy, I assume he's got two of them, you know. And that's not the case with Lance, you know. Maybe, you know, I think he had some disease or something, you know.
Yes, I believe he had cancer. I think it's called cancer.
Oh, my God, don't say that about a guy. Yeah, so Lance Armstrong, he's got one ball there, you know. And he goes right. on that Oprah Winfrey there.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, that, and goes, hey, remember all those times I said I didn't cheat? Like, absolutely, even when I was under oath, you know, I didn't cheat at all. And she said, yeah. And then he goes, I cheated. Yeah, I won 7 Tour de Forces. I beat all those smelly European guys, you know. I was all full of drugs, you know. See, I started the drugs to combat my ball problem.
You know? Right. There you go. Okay.
And then I said, oh, my God, I'm fast on this bike. I don't know. You know.
We just saved you an hour right there. Now you don't have to watch the Oprah interview. Boom. Done.
Yeah, I don't know why you watch it, you know. It's not like, hey, Lance has an admission, you know. And then he goes on Oprah and goes, I was in Yermo and I buried a hooker alive, you know. She was still kicking and screaming.
I hadn't heard about that.
Yeah, me and Artie Lang went out to the desert there and just buried a hooker alive. We were going to kill her first. I was the nice thing to do. We thought, hey, wouldn't it be funny, you know, if we bury this dirty, dirty whore, but she was still alive. So, I don't know, if you go out to Yermo and see, like, a hand, that's my, well, anyway, that's my admission, Oprah. Well, no, I didn't cheat. What the H? Cheating? No, you can't. Cheaters never win, Oprah. That's crazy. Now let's go listen to some Billy Joe Shaver.
Good reference, Norm.
Yeah,
I didn't even get that one.
Yeah, I brought everybody to a halt there, you know.
Yeah, I appreciate that. All right, bring Jay Moore back in.
Hello, hey, Norm, beat it. Give me the mic, you. Norm, let him finish what he was. Where's my golden globe for mama's boy, okay?
Do all of these fine comedians make an appearance on the radio show, Jay?
Oh, of course.
Not as many, though.
No.
I notice it's not as...
Well, it's just because I'm saving
it doesn't dominate.
No, that's true. But the comic, the impressions you have not heard on Jay Moore Sports, just because I'm saving them for when it's a slow day.
Okay.
All but right. We got NFL playoffs. We're hot.
Yeah.
We're hot.
Yeah,
to
you
depth.
Got plenty to do right now.
Let me get this straight. Andy Reid wins 5 games. He's the most desirable coach on the market. Lovie
Smith
wins 10 games. Guy can't even get an interview.
I don't understand why they fired Lovie Smith, to tell you the truth. It doesn't seem like...
Neither did the players. They were bananas.
Yeah. I mean, I mean, they loved that dude. And, I mean, they did not have a great season, but it wasn't all on him, right?
How great if you were like a white supremacist and you went to work every day and called the black guy Lovie.
I haven't thought about
Ozzie
quite
Smith,
that
when he played for the Cardinals, loved playing for Whitey Herzog. He goes, every day I come to work and I call my boss Whitey. Like, that's a very public thing that he said.
Right.
I'm not like, you know.
No, I hear you.
It's just so great. Hey, Lovey.
who's your team that's still in it that you like, Jay?
God, it's hard to root against the Ravens right now.
But really?
But the Patriots are like, the Patriots are the Normandy invasion. Do you know what I mean? It's wave after wave, and like
they just make it look so easy.
Yes, because they get Ben Vereen. He's Ben Vereen, the dance man, is running into the end zone. And little Danny Woodhead, come on, honey, little Woodhead, engage, hickory dickory dock. Look at little Woodhead run with the rock. Ah, thought I was gonna curse.
I did, yeah.
That's in your mind. But they just keep unearthing these guys that nobody else wants. It's like what the Raiders used to do. They would take everybody's cast offs. And win, and now what the Raiders do is they take everybody's cast-offs and lose.
And lose, right. Yeah.
And the Patriots, Bill Belichick's like a genius just getting these guys to play.
How fat is he getting, by the way? Have you seen the size of the sweatpants on Bill Belichick lately?
I don't think he's getting fat as much as I think he's wearing like 4 pairs of, underoos under there.
But why? It was like 55 degrees at that game the other day, and he looked like the Michelin tire man.
Isn't it weird? Coaches, football coaches specifically, get fat around their pelvic area.
Very
like
much
get,
so.
They get not like a spare tire. They have like a spare inner tube that goes from like their taint to like above, like right below their belly button. So like their entire, like where they pee-pee from, right. I'm trying to not get you guys off the air or right. me, like where their pee-pee happens is like a giant inner tube. Like Bill Parcells when he was fat. Romeo Crennel, any fat coach has a very specific rolling, roly, doughy pelvis.
You don't see it in most people. You don't see
no,
it. That
I've never
way.
Seen it ever.
Yeah.
But everywhere, the whole country is super fat.
Yeah.
And,
but
know,
not like that.
No, they got muffin tops and cankles. Nobody has a rolling, doughy pubis.
Okay.
I love a doughy pubis. That's my favorite member of Wu Tang.
Hi, Tracy. Like, how are you?
Yeah. I like ODB and doughy pubis. He got the best, freshest rhymes. Come see me at Ontario Improv on Thursday. Meet and greet. I'm enjoying my sobriety.
This has been a very educational few minutes with the great Jay Moore here on the Kevin Beach Ontario Improv, Thursday through Sunday. Tickets available through IrvineImprov.com. More in a minute after this on the Kevin Beach on K-Rock. Got highlights from the Honey Boo Boo Thanksgiving special. Yeah, that's right. That's what they're airing this week on TLC. Also, funny man Jeff Ross on the program and the great Lorenzo Lamas from Joe Schmo 3. That's all coming up. Hey, tomorrow on the Kevin and Bean Show, check this out. Dave Grohl. You guys heard of him? You know who he is? That guy, that singer, guitarist, drummer
Nirvana?
Guy?
Nirvana?
Foo Fighters, yeah, that's the one. Also, Corey Taylor from Slipknot and Stone Sour are both going to be in our studio at 8 o'clock tomorrow talking about the Los Angeles premiere of the film Sound City. This is the documentary about that great recording studio. The documentary is going to be showing at the Cinerama Dome on January 31st, and then immediately after that is going to be an all-star show with members of Foo Fighters, John Fogerty, members of Cheap Trick, Fleetwood Mac, Rick Springfield, Leaving from Fear. You can buy tickets to that show. This is a one-time-only deal tomorrow at noon via Ticketmaster. All the information is available right now at krock.com or kevinandbean.com. So if you love Dave and Foo Fighters like we do, get on over to kevinandbean.com or krock.com and buy your tickets. The boys will be here tomorrow.
Time for the Afro Line, 323-520-AFRO, 24 hours a day. You can leave us a message on any topic, including that bizarre girl that we met 15 years ago, maybe, who, when she hears the word moist, falls to the ground.
Yes.
For some reason, she has a physical reaction to it that is second to none.
Moist. Good morning, moist girl.
Isn't it funny? We've had thousands of people on our show over the years, but for some reason, everybody remembers hearing her.
Yeah, she was fascinating.
Every time you hear the word moist, all of our listeners think of that girl.
Yeah, because she's on the ground right now, rolling around in pain. The great Huell Howser, who I had no idea was until he passed away and Bean started playing highlights of it. That's what this impression is.
Lisa May, your rack is amazing.
And Bear Mug, it's astonishing how fat you are.
I think we got a new Huelhauser.
Not bad.
You DJ Omar Khan. Really, dude? Talking about poop on Twitter?
Okay, so he Omar does spend a lot of time talking about number two on Twitter.
And right.
That's all he talks about, to be honest. And this guy's a little angry.
So my idea, you did. I always talk about when I take crap, dude. And now you got to talk about your poop, little bitch. Get your own idea, you hoe.
It's on.
Yeah.
We were talking about, I forget when it was, a couple mornings ago, about a woman who had a bunch of heroin needles stuck up in her vagina.
Oh,
she was
God,
hiding
yes.
them in her vagina.
Yes.
If I had a vagina, there would never be a time that I didn't have something hidden inside of it.
By the way, we still have to do that as a call-in topic on the Kevin and Bean Show. People have hidden things in their vagina. I'm convinced our listeners have done it.
I did a commercial for Bow and Galpin Ford.
Yes.
And they made me use a certain word many times. And I told Omar before I even recorded it, you can go ahead and use this however you want. I know I'm going to screw it up 1,000 times.
So I just heard Kevin's Galpin commercial. There is no way he consistently said the word consistently right every single time. Where are the outtakes?
Great question. By the way, we've received a lot of emails asking the same thing. Where are the outtakes from your commercial?
This is the honest truth. I made a joke when I was recording it. I made a joke early in it. They're going to make me say this many times and I'm going to screw it up. So I'm just going to give it a try. I made that joke.
Yes.
Then I effing nailed it all the way through. And I made Omar go back and take out the joke because now it didn't make sense.
What?
You're Kevin, though.
I know. Who's more surprised than me?
How did that happen?
I don't know. Why are we talking so high?
You know, normally I wasn't really that big of a fan of Beer Mug or really even hated him that much. I didn't really care one way or the other. But then he dropped the bit this morning. Asshole. Fire that mother now.
It is tough when Beer Mug has his finger on a button that'll take the station off the air.
Yeah. And by the way, I don't know who you are, sir, but I'm 100% behind you.
Bean is very upset. Very upset. He spent... it seemed like 2 hours yesterday talking about Monopoly and how he's
don't get me started again.
So angry about the fact that they might vote the car off or some BS that he's got.
The little token. They're taking one of the original tokens away and replacing it with something newfangled, and I don't approve.
Bean, I'm going on ParkerBrothers.com, and I'm going to vote against your car, you little dick.
In the car. In the car. 1935. Shut up, Bean. Shut up.
It's always humbling.
With that guy.
It's always humbling to hear how you sound to other people. Thank you for that, sir.
This guy very shocked by the weather.
Oh my God, it's cold.
Okay.
And what would you say if I told you the great Wing gave us a call?
Wing.
Wing.
Are you kidding me? The New Zealand songbird that is Wing?
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Happy New Year 2013. I'm going to sing a lovely song called Hero to you. But you have your own heroes too. So just hold on. There will be a beautiful tomorrow. Here is the song Hero.
I don't know what that meant. No better way to hear music than on the phone.
Sure. Now, this is the Mariah Carey song. Is that what we're hearing?
I believe
Hero?
So. I don't know. I've heard her sing it. I didn't recognize it. I love her so much.
If you look inside your heart, you don't have to be afraid of what you are.
Sing it if you know it.
There's an answer.
How did this happen?
If you reach into your soul, and the soul...
End of message.
Oh!
It cut her off?
What? Yeah, we have a limit because we don't want to listen to our listeners go on for hours and hours.
Oh, come on.
But in that case,
that's so sad.
We hung up on Wing.
Oh, that is sad.
She was singing Hero.
I love that.
323-520-AFRO 24.
I'm Lisa May with K-Rock Traffic.
Thank you, Lisa. Thank you, Lisa.
It's awesome. And number four, ladies and gentlemen, for 2013. Number four, if you're keeping track.
752. Ralph, get off the ground.
Stop praying.
Stop praying and thanking
I'm
God.
I'm not praying. I'm thanking the Lord for giving us such a bounty.
How can anyone not say the words thank you,
oh,
Lisa?
Oh, you screwed up Ralph's name before it happens.
Okay. All right.
Doesn't it?
I've screwed up my own name.
Thank you, Lisa.
Sure.
Yeah, you're right.
Great.
It's all of us. No, you're
Let's
right.
Let's leave it. Try to be nice.
It's all of us. All right.
We Omar, have we need problems. That moment with it once, please. Thank you, sir. 752, Ralph is here, or whatever his name is. Time for the Showbiz Beat.
Before I get to the beat, let me give away some tickets to a very cool event. This is a red carpet world premiere of a movie that I can't wait to see. It's called Hansel and Gretel.
Yeah!
That's so good.
This isn't the Hansel and Gretel, you know, from the fairy tale. Ooh, please don't eat us, witch. Oh, don't put us in the oven. We're in your gingerbread house. Ooh, ooh, ooh. No. Hansel and Gretel and I are badass vigilantes. Are out there kicking witch ass and taking witch names. Jeremy Renner stars as Hansel, and the lovely and talented Gemma Arterton is Gretel. By the way, Gemma's coming on the show.
Yeah.
I gotta start doing push-ups now.
Really? You think that'll do it?
Yeah.
You think that'll swing her?
Impress her with the guns.
Yeah.
This film looks amazing. I can't wait to see it. And you will get to see it on the red carpet world premiere at Grauman's Chinese Theater, January the 24th, the day before it's in theaters everywhere on the 25th. If you'd like to go, and why wouldn't you? You get to go, not see a great movie, but these red carpet premieres are very fun to attend. I've got five pairs of passes. Let's do it. 1-800-520-1067. First five callers who get through will get a pair of passes to attend the red carpet world premiere of Hansel and Gretel. Well, Oprah Winfrey scored herself quite a coup with her sit-down interview with Lance Armstrong yesterday. She will be airing the interview on her own network. No pun intended. It's the Oprah Winfrey Network, OWN. This Thursday and Friday, the interview went so long that she had to put it over two evenings. I'm sure that's the only reason she's doing it between nights.
They couldn't have edited it.
And I bet they won't save all the really juicy stuff for the second installment. I'm sure she'll put all the interesting stuff up front and then just some minor questions on the Friday episode.
Tomorrow night he talks about steroids.
Yeah. Exactly. first one's going to be, so what was Sheryl Crow like? How did that thing go for you?
How's the one ball working out?
So basically what's happened is Oprah realizes that no one will watch her network unless she's on it. So she now has to
she's on it all the time. It's hard-hitting interviews with big celebrities that people watch.
But it seems like she's kind of come out of... She wanted to get off the camera, and now it seems like she's kind of been forced back into doing all these things, like the Letterman special and everything, right? That's the only way people will watch.
No, she was on the show. She was on her network all the time, Bean.
She was doing
all kinds of shows about... she had her own favorite thing show that she would put on there, and she had all kinds of...
But
Oprah
not a daily
FaceTime,
thing, I don't think.
But no daily thing,
right.
And no high-profile gets... Now she's realizing unless she talks to a Letterman or an Armstrong, no one will seek out her network. That's why she's trying to get all these big-time interviews. And according to CBS This Morning, where she appeared live today to talk about the interview, she does get Lance Armstrong to admit that he used performance-enhancing substances. Not only him, but his whole racing team, which was sponsored by the U.S. Postal Service, which made me start to think, why don't they give performance-enhancing drugs to the entire U.S. Postal Service?
Oh, that would be great.
What we need.
That's necessary.
I've been in line at the post office. Those people need steroids and amphetamines and blood doping, whatever it takes them to get their heads out of their collective asses and weigh a package for me and put stamps on it.
Agreed.
Lance wasn't giving enough performance-enhancing drugs to the U.S. Postal Service team.
So he's keeping them all for himself.
Maybe she'll ask that hard-hitting question this week. And, big story. The coroners apparently are saying that Natalie Wood's death may not have been an accident.
Wow, why so quick?
No. She drowned in 1981.
What?
They're saying...
They have new evidence now?
She may have had bruises on her body before she drowned. Really? Maybe? How can you tell now? The body is 30 years old.
Right.
And why change your story now? For the past 2 years, they've been talking about this story, whether she died accidentally or not. Let's let it go.
I think so.
One way or the other. It's too late now.
Ralph, what's Christopher Walken saying about this? He was on the boat with her.
Well, I always thought it was an accident.
Uh-huh.
But, really, I killed her.
Oh, wow.
Wow. Shocked everyone.
That sounds like the interview Oprah needs to get next.
That's right. And congratulations to Britney Spears. When God closes a door, man, he opens a window.
That's right.
She lost her job at the X Factor, reportedly because she asked for a big pay increase. She was getting $15 million for the one season she did. Sources are saying she wanted an additional three to come back and do another season. X Factor producers declined, so they parted ways. However, the Mirror tabloid out of the UK is saying Britney is very close to signing a concert residency deal with Caesar's Palace in Las Vegas for 80 shows a year. For the 80 shows...
80 shows a year.
She will be paid... Well, it's a two-year contract, okay? 80 shows a year for 2 years. Two-year contract worth $100 million.
Wow.
That's crazy.
Wow.
She also gets the penthouse apartment at Sears to live there. Caesar's
at Sears?
Sears, that'd be great. She can get her snow tires and do a concert at Caesar's. And they're saying the ticket price for Britney Spears will be around $650.
They are going to be sorely disappointed when they realize that Britney Spears fans cannot afford $650 tickets. And who would? If you could.
Look, who would think that Donnie Marie could sell out a venue?
But are they charging $600?
No, of course not, but it's all
like
relative.
$75.
I'm saying she still is one of the biggest stars in the world.
Yeah.
Her concert tour was number one last year when she went out, right? Or the year before?
And $650 a ticket.
Look, I hear you. I'm just saying people spend crazy money in Vegas.
Yeah. And the rich are still very rich, even with the downturn in the economy in recent years. There's still a lot of people who've got a lot of money to whom $1,500 for a night out is not a big deal.
But to fill that theater 80 times a year at those prices? I know, we'll have to wait and see. And while you're at her concert, don't do any of the following things. Rolling Stone magazine has released their list of the 10 most annoying concert behaviors.
Oh, great.
Here's what you should not do. Don't yell "sit down" at people who are standing up at the concert.
Sit down! I couldn't agree more.
We were doing our Acoustic Christmas this year, and we were standing in the aisle there waiting to do an intro for one of the bands.
Yeah.
And everybody was standing up and watching the band that was currently on stage, and one lady was sitting down. And she kept saying, "Would you sit down? Would you move?" I was like, "Lady, look around you. Everybody's on their feet." She was a surly bitch.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about. You're listening right now, aren't you, lady? Number nine, don't film the entire show on your iPhone. Watch the show. Don't
that is
be
dumb.
So busy looking through your iPhone that you're filming the show. Eight, don't complain loudly because the band hasn't played your favorite song yet.
No one else cares, right?
Seven, don't get so drunk you puke. Oh, I'm sorry, Kevin.
Come on, that's...
Six, don't push your way to the front, Kevin.
How dare you?
Five, this is for Bean, quit yelling out Freebird.
It's always funny.
Four... Don't yell out any requests for any songs.
Right.
Three, don't incessantly be talking to your friends who are attending the concert with you. Dave the King of Mexico.
Yes.
Two, don't check your email, Facebook, or Twitter every couple of seconds while you're there at the show. Dave the King of Mexico. And number one, quit taking pictures of the entire freaking show while you're there. Most annoying concert behavior, according to Rolling Stone magazine. I think Dave the KMX was guilty of almost all of those.
I'd like to put in, don't sing along if everyone else isn't.
Oh, yeah, that's a big one.
You got that one person that can't keep a key for the life of them.
And I'd like to add, don't pee in the mosh pit. That's an annoying behavior.
Yeah, that's the worst.
Today's celebrity birthday, Skrillex is 25. Pitbull turns 32 years old. Actor Eddie Cahill from CSI New York's 35. Regina King from Southland. How good is she on that show?
She's great.
42. It's coming back, you know.
When?
February, I think.
Oh, fantastic.
She is 42. Chad Lowe, the brother of Rob Lowe and a talented actor in his own right, is 45 years old. And Lisa Lisa of Lisa Lisa and the Cult, Mother Emily J. We got to ask Lorenzo Lamas when he gets here if he's ever partied with Lisa Lisa and the Cult Jam. I bet he has.
That'll be a great line of questioning.
I bet he has. Bet he has gotten down with Lisa Lisa and the Cult Jam. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thanks a lot for tuning into the program again. A reminder, tomorrow at this time, Dave Grohl and Corey Taylor from Slipknot and Stone Sour will be here. It's going to be an outstanding show tomorrow. Although, how about what's going on right now on the Kevin and Bean Show? The great Lorenzo Lamas joins us in studio.
Yeah.
Good morning.
Ralph Garman's co-star, I guess I should say, from the Spike TV sensation called Joe Schmo, back for another episode tonight at 10. How are you, Lorenzo? Welcome, sir.
I'm doing great this morning. It's a little cold out there.
It is, just a bit.
Schenectady, New York called. They want their weather back. I'm over this cold. You know, we had the heat wave that lasted until
a good part of December.
And now God is getting even.
Yeah.
You guys can't stay in, you know, cargo shorts all year in California anymore.
Well, these guys do.
They do. Anyway.
Kevin's got his on.
We do. But it's sometimes
Kevin's shorts are like the casual pouch. It's just it's his signature, and he just wears them everywhere.
Very good. Right. Very good.
The casual pouch gets us into why Lorenzo is here. Talk about, for folks who maybe aren't up to speed with your participation in the new season of Joe Schmo.
Well, the Joe Schmo is a fake reality show. It's basically there's a half a dozen, you know, comedy sketch actors, of which Ralph is a huge part of, and me and several other stereotype reality show, you know, knockoffs. We've got the big black trainer guy. We've got the jerk. You know, we've got the deaf girl. We've got the Asian chick. I mean, all these stereotypes and one person who thinks it's real. So we're all putting on a show for this guy, and the audience out there gets to see the craziness that we all do to try to push the limits of believability, and in the hopes that obviously he never catches on, right?
But that's the best, because you want to push it far enough that he shouldn't continue to believe it, but somehow does.
He does, and I think he does because we're all so invested in these crazy concepts, you know, and the challenges. Now, every challenge is fake. There's an outcome that's predetermined by the writers. We all had rehearsals for about a week before we started filming the show. But the first day of filming, we all looked at each other and said, it's on. This could just go left at
any
point.
What's the penalty if one of the actors screws it up and the whole thing collapses on itself? Do they sue you or something?
Then Sharon Levy, the executive at Spike, comes for your ass.
Yeah. There's a red laser dot on your forehead.
Like the show would just get canceled?
Never hear it coming.
Just would never happen, right?
Well, there was a contingency plan. We had a second schmo sequestered away in a hotel nearby. And if things went south early enough in the production, we could have jettisoned the original guy, brought the new guy in, sort of started all over, rebooted, and continued on. But there was a point of no return. Once we got into shooting at a certain point, we were committed. And if he had figured it out at that point, then we would have had to pretty much scrap the show.
Now, this guy, the schmo, what's his name?
Chase Rogan.
Chase Rogan. Were you guys worried that he was almost too likable? He seems like the sweetest, nicest, most unassuming guy. On the first episode at least, you almost sort of feel sorry for him that all this is happening.
But I think they casted him for that reason. I think they want America to really like this guy and to be invested in his journey through this insane idea of becoming a bounty hunter.
Right.
And he's so competitive. I mean, I'm not going to give too much away, but suffice it to say that there were challenges that were thrown at us that he was supposed to lose.
Because you didn't think he had what it took or whatever?
No, the producers wanted him to lose.
For the story, it worked best to lose at, you know, like an immunity challenge or a reward challenge kind of thing.
Like in the second episode, which has already aired, the taser challenge. You know, he went after the Asian girl.
Yeah.
Who was begging him not to, that was the one, right?
The widow, actually.
Begging him not to do it. Did you guys always think he would do it?
She was crying.
Well, that's what we didn't know. We didn't know how far he would push it. And yet, you know, he's so competitive that even when he stunned her, the widow, you kind of rooted for him. He said, yeah, hell yeah.
It's a competition.
That was written up to a point where we said, okay, we know Chase will get to the finale. He'll be against the widow. Let's see what happens. We had a contingency for if he shocks her, great. That means he wins. Uh-huh. If he doesn't, then how do we massage the storyline to get him back to where we need him to be?
And that's what made the producers start pulling their hair out.
Sure.
Because he would end up winning things that he was supposed to lose.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
So the producers are tweaking the storyline and trying to make it work and bringing characters in, talking to us and saying, okay, try to steer him in this direction. And every time the show started to go left, they would ask Ralph to come in and tell everybody to go to their rooms.
Straighten it out.
Yeah, was that right? Yeah.
It's like, okay, no talking.
Ralph's the host. No. For those of you that haven't seen it.
Yeah.
For example, we said, Lorenzo, go talk to Chase and try to get him to give up that beautiful master suite he's staying in at the house. He won't do it. Don't worry about it. Nobody would give up that room to go live in one of these squirrely little bedrooms or share with somebody. But it'll be funny to see you try. Well, sure enough, Chase, nice enough guy that he is, swaps with Lorenzo. Now he's out of the bedroom. We've got all the security cameras loaded up. He needs to be in there.
So you can follow what he's doing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So now I have to go in and yell at Lorenzo for swapping rooms with the guy and straighten things
Which
out.
Which brings us to Lorenzo's character. Tell us about Lorenzo Lamas, the character.
He's Lorenzo Lamas on basically a diet of amyl nitrate. And typical spoiled television actor that's seen the better part of his career go down the toilet. He's now on the show to promote a product that of a company that he's bought.
Which is called?
Called the European Casual Pouch.
Which is?
Which is a Speedo. Yeah. It's a blue
barely
Speedo.
It's half a Speedo.
It's a blue Speedo. And the producers brought me into the show saying, you know, Lorenzo, we want you to play a hyper version of yourself, but it's really important that you try to get our Joe Schmo to wear this. And they hold this little blue thing that I swear it didn't cover my hand.
Right.
And so I asked John Holland.
It's a good
Moore,
thing other parts of your body are smaller then.
Thank you.
Somebody
thank you so
that.
Much. For somebody that actually noticed that.
Yeah.
John Holland Moore, our writer, our head writer, said, would you mind, you know, wearing this? And I looked at that thing and I said, how many times do I have to wear it? And he goes, as many times as you're comfortable. And, you know, it was such fun to work with these brilliant comedians. I mean, we have Rob Belushi and Joe Newman and Mike Weaver and Ralph. And it was a nonstop comedy improv where
were you surprised that Ralph wasn't cast to play the jerk?
How dare you,
wow,
sir?
No, wow.
And you work with him every day?
Every day, Lorenzo.
That's how come I know. Was the schmo familiar with Lorenzo Lamas? Was he asking you questions and you kind of had to answer sort of in real life but also sort of staying in character?
I was kind of hoping he did recognize me. But he didn't.
But he didn't. Yeah. Not in the beginning.
He
did.
No idea.
He did say under his breath, who's that?
No.
Absolutely did not recognize me. And there was a contingency plan, you know. I was going to get to go bigger if he didn't recognize me.
No.
But if he did recognize me, it was going to be I was there to become a bounty hunter because I played one on TV. And that was my spiel.
A show called Renegade, right?
Right. Yes. That was the spiel. But I didn't have to worry about him not recognizing me.
The amazing thing, and we got to take a break here with Lorenzo Lamas in studio on the Kevin Bean Show. The amazing thing about the Joe Schmo Show, and we're all fans of the reality TV genre. There have been great shows in the past, but there's never been a show like this one, right, Ralph? I mean, this show is unique in terms of what's ever been on the air for reality television.
There have been a few other attempts at it. I guess Joe Millionaire would be another example. Remember where they tried to get all those
setup, though?
All those girls to think the guy was rich, but in reality he was a construction worker.
Right, yeah.
And there was another one called My Big Fat Fiance or something, where the guy was really acting like an obnoxious jerk. But Schmo is sort of the gold standard for a show like this. And really, there aren't that many versions of it. And people are really liking it and responding to it. The critics and the people who watch are really enjoying it, which is very gratifying.
Well, they can't do this a lot because it's like Borat. You know, once you figure out that this guy's a phony, that the show is a fake, you're not going to be able to find a person that would believe it.
If you haven't heard it, that's because the last time it was on was 10 years ago.
Right.
10 years ago was the first one, then 9 years ago was the second one, yeah.
All right, we're talking about Joe Schmo, back tonight for another episode on Spike TV. Can people catch up on the first couple episodes on the website? They stream that stuff, right?
They can, and also Spike, I think, is rebroadcasting the first 2 hours of the show.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah. All right, it's all tonight on Spike TV. Lorenzo Lamas is here. We'll return in a moment right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rod. Talking about Joe Schmo, Tuesday nights at 10 on Spike TV. Great first and second episode aired last week. They're going to be re-airing tonight, Lorenzo, is that what you said? And then they're going to do the brand new episode at 10, right?
Yeah, they're going to be broadcasting the original, the first two episodes, periodically throughout the day today, I'm sure. And then they might run, you know, at 7 p.m., they might run the first 2 hours tonight
and
then catch up at 10 with the third episode, which I don't really care about because I'm not in.
Because you're not on it, right?
Yeah.
because Lorenzo, of course, had to face, he had to enter Lady Justice last week.
Yes, he did.
That's the sexiest thing on television when you enter Lady Justice on that show. I'll tell you that.
It's the biggest womb I've ever seen.
It's a womb with a view.
Lorenzo Lamas is here because he, of course, started out as a member of the cast of Joe Schmo. Did you, were you familiar with the franchise when you were contacted to be a part of this, Lorenzo?
No, I didn't, but I heard Ralph Garman was going to be on, and I said, that's something I've got to do.
Sure, yeah.
But seriously. I was the draw. Yeah.
No, but it's like I had a career in action television, you know, many, many years. I just falling on the ground, rolling around on concrete and killing myself. Mm. And this is really a blessing. It's a chance to do something completely different, to take, you know, my fans into in another direction, you know, on another trip. And I just enjoy the process so much, working with comedians and trying to come up with material. It's amazing what you find in yourself when you have to. I mean, when we're all there in the show, in the moment, and Chase is hanging on our every word, there's a bit of pressure there to be able to continue this farce without blowing it. And I think all of us were really concerned with not being the person that was going to screw this whole thing up.
But at the same time, though, you have to be entertaining for the audience at home that's going to be watching. That's in the back of your head, too, you know? So you're balancing two different aspects of what's going on. And we were all shocked because Lorenzo's not a guy who's known to have a comedy background.
That's what I was going to say, is I know him from his work.
Yeah, sure.
So when
But Falcon Crest, that wasn't exactly a laugh riot, you know what I'm saying?
So when you're doing the Spirit Monster, Spirit Animal?
Yes.
Explain what that was. And then I want to ask Lorenzo about his ad-libbing during that.
As the host, we bring in a shaman. We bring in a Native American shaman who looks into the soul of all our contestants and gives them their spirit animal that they can connect up with. And as the host, I present each of them with an actual version of their spirit animal at the elimination ceremony at the end of each episode. And Lorenzo's was the fox. That's his spirit animal.
Well, because supposedly on the set of Renegade, when we were filming in Otay Mesa, I had met an Indian medicine man who had given me already my spirit animal,
right,
which was the fox. So the producers wanted me to stand up, interrupt this ceremony, and say, excuse me, I already have a spirit animal. It's the fox.
I can't get another one.
I can't, you know.
You can't double up on the spirit animal?
No. Please don't make me Sally Field. You know, I just want one spirit animal.
And then you were howling at the moon.
You have to commune with your animal. You have to speak to it.
But even after...
Lorenzo took it by himself to speak to his fox.
After every other person got their spirit animal, you were chanting some BS. So I didn't even know what you were...
It's the Indian spirit call. Hayape.
Hayape.
Come on, Kevin. Try to keep up.
Yeah. Sorry, I didn't realize
Hayape!
He would keep yelling that. It's supposed
to be the middle of the ceremony.
And everyone would whip around.
Everybody would jump.
Like, what's he doing?
Hayape!
He was lost in the emotion of the ceremony.
That's got to be such... I mean, for you, more than anyone, at least in the episodes that I've already seen, it's such a fine line because you really do have to play it so big and yet not go over the cliff.
But, you know, I had the grace of playing... a spoiled television star.
Yeah.
So
you can get away with more of that.
Had some training for that.
When you're thinking of, you know, these normal people like,
you
like
know
Chase
people
Rogan.
That you based
I mean,
on.
Chase Rogan is the salt of the earth.
Yeah.
Married his high school sweetheart, 28 years old, business owner, master's from Penn State. He's America. And what America thinks of television stars is far less than what you know what we would think of a TV
You're
star.
You're not nearly as crazy as Charlie Sheen is on a regular basis.
Exactly. So I pretty much had a blank slate to paint. You know, I mean, I could do whatever I wanted because this guy was just if I believed what I was doing, he was going to believe that it was real.
Yeah. You know? Listen, we're out of time, unfortunately.
You're a bad person.
But I have to ask you this, Lorenzo, because and I hope it's okay to mention this because you told us something during the song that you have kind of rediscovered a certain kind of acting as a result of the experience on the Joe Schmo Show, and that is comedy. And you kind of it sounds like you've fallen in love with it.
I just absolutely have. And as a matter of fact, I'm in stand-up college. Yeah, you go to clown college. I'm studying with a great stand-up coach, Joe Falzerano. He's here in L.A. I'm going to be at the Comedy Club this Saturday night at 8:30.
The Comedy Store?
Is the set. The Comedy Store. What did I say?
Comedy Club.
Comedy Club. It's the Comedy Store on Sunset Boulevard at 8:30 this Saturday night. I'm just going to get up there and just try to make people laugh. And it's just, it's so much fun and such a challenge.
And people in the audience, go ahead and shout, Hayape! At any point. In his stand-up.
And for those who are watching the show, and I know I got a lot of people after the second episode were so disappointed that Mr. Lamas left us. I'm just saying, stay tuned. Stay tuned. If you're worried about Lorenzo not being a part of the show any longer, don't tune out.
Stay with us.
Wonder
what you could mean by that.
Stay with us. That's all I'm saying. I'm saying the producers would be a fool to lose a talent like Mr. Lamas.
That's correct.
They're not fools.
Absolutely. Spike TV is where it's all happening tonight. Look for Joe Schmo. Lorenzo, I'm glad we finally had you on. Congratulations on the success of Schmo. I hope we see you again soon, sir.
Oh, I hope so, too. Thank you, guys.
Funny man Jeff Ross joins us next hour on the Kevin Bean Show, Showbiz Beat, in about 10 minutes. Hey, help me out here. What month are we in? What month is it right now?
January.
Oh, that explains why TLC did the Honey Boo Boo Thanksgiving special on Sunday night. That makes a lot of sense.
Which is really bizarre because a week before that, they did the Halloween one.
Yeah.
Yeah, the holidays are just breezing by, aren't they?
What's wrong with them?
Honey Boo Boo, if you haven't been watching, she's the little pageant girl who became famous on TLC on a show called Toddlers and Tiaras, and her whole family, America, has just fallen in love with. They live in a little shack, basically, by the railroad tracks in a tiny town in Georgia, and they are, well, they're special. And June, 33-year-old grandmother June, 33-year-old 320-pound grandmother June, is talking to the family about what they'd like to have for Thanksgiving this year.
You know, I'm not no Martha Stewart or, you know, Betty Crocker or anything like that. I mean, they have people that cook for them all the time. I mean, it's going to be what it is, and hopefully something turns out right, and we can eat it.
Anybody want me to make a salad?
No. What is that? We are ready.
So she's asking if anybody wants a salad, and Honey Boo Boo's asking the question, what do you think we are, rabbits? Because I'm telling you, I've watched enough of this show to know that vegetables and fruits do not exist in this family. That's not something that anybody's interested in hearing about.
Really?
Rabbits?
Yeah. We're not animals. We're not rabbits. We're people.
We're people. We're not animals. We're not rabbits. We're people.
I don't know. I think a rabbit could say that sentence better.
So one of the things that they do on this episode is that Honey Boo Boo, as you know, she had Glitzy the pig as a pet, and that didn't work out too well. So she's been just bugging her mom all the time to get another pet. She wants another pet. So she wants a turkey for a pet, and they decide that they're going to go to a turkey farm to see the turkeys in person.
Mama, it's a turkey! Yeah. It's a turkey! But I've never seen a turkey!
Yeah!
By the way, Honey Boo Boo doesn't talk unless she's screaming.
Yeah. There's one volume.
Have you noticed that? She's always yelling.
Can you have a turkey as a pet?
I don't know. You can't train these like a dog to poop at a certain area. They poop whenever they want to poop, wherever they like.
Gobble, 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 gobble.
Now, that's not at all annoying, right?
She doesn't have anyone in her life to say, hey, not so much of that.
I'll tell you one thing you never hear June say to any of her kids is inside voice, honey. You never hear that.
I'm so happy to see real live turkeys. I want one of my own. Can I have a pet turkey?
No.
How about now?
No.
How about now?
No.
How about now?
No.
How about now?
No, you're not getting a pet turkey.
Now?
No.
All right, so basically.
Wow.
So basically, Honey Boo Boo's a little bit spoiled, and she doesn't really react well to not getting what she wants. However, they're not going to get her a turkey. They do get her a pet chicken.
Oh, come on.
And I get sad every time an animal gets introduced into this house because it is not a safe, it is not a hygienic environment.
They'll probably eat it by nightfall.
Well, maybe so. I'm sure that not much survives in that house that doesn't get eaten by this family. But yeah, Honey Boo Boo gets a pet chicken.
I got a new pet, and it's a chicken. And I cannot believe it's in my house.
What are we going to name it?
I don't know. What do you want to name it?
You know what? Because I like chicken nuggets, we can name him Nugget. Because he's a chicken, and you see, you can name him Nugget. Chicken Nugget!
Chicken Nugget?
I got a chicken Nugget!
Let me see it!
No!
Let me see your chicken. No!
Wow.
And by the way, of course they're going to give it a food name, right?
Yeah, sure.
Of course they are.
Makes the transition easier.
Here's one of the most shocking things that I've ever seen on an episode of Here Comes Honey Boo Boo. This is Sugar Bear. God bless him. Sugar Bear is just, he's living in hell. He's in this house with all these girls, all these women. He's, you know, working in a mine 7 days a week. He's the guy who's always chewing tobacco every time he talks. And he is interested in getting more chickens. They got this one chicken in the house. He says he wants to get more chickens. And listen why. And you're going to be shocked by something that comes out of Sugar Bear's mouth.
Maybe we should get nuggets and friends.
I don't want to be like your mom and daddy having 30 chickens running around the yard.
I do. I'm looking forward to getting fresh eggs daily. Yep. Be a lot cheaper than running to the grocery store getting them.
Now, it's always difficult to understand Sugar Bear because, you know, he's always chewing tobacco. He wants to get some more chickens because it's cheaper to get eggs right there in the yard rather than have to run down to the grocery store. But listen to what he says afterwards that blew my mind coming from this guy.
I might even make a quiche.
What?
A quiche?
I might even make a quiche.
Who's surprised he knows that word?
Sugar Bear said that. What? Well, I think you heard that you can't house trade a turkey. You also can't house trade a chicken. And that I don't think is going to be a deal breaker for this family.
Look, it just ooed.
All right, so Nugget just ooed, which is their way of saying pooped. And basically, the chicken is just, they leave the chicken just running around in the house, just pooping all over everything, all over the counters, all over the furniture.
Oh, dear God.
All over the floor.
We're going to pick it up. That's one of your duties. No, that's one of your duties.
Nugget poops wherever she well pleases. And so
do I. Oh, what's going on there?
I knew that was next.
What?
And so do I.
And so do I. All right. Now we're getting into the preparing of the Thanksgiving meal. And this is June, who is not a, she can't really cook. She's never made a turkey before. But there's one thing she knows that makes every food better.
I really don't know how to prep a turkey. I really don't know what I'm doing along here. So we're just going to wing this. And you have to, like, tape the neck, the gizzards, and all that out, that pack out.
Ah!
All right, now I need a butter. Just like all my other recipes, butter and sugar makes everything taste better.
Can I help you put it on?
Yep. Take this. Hand me a spoonful of butter.
Okay, so basically what they're doing is they're just ladling out butter, like, by the pound.
Yeah.
The only thing, Lisa, that they're stuffing inside this turkey, and I'm no chef either, is butter. That's what's in the center
Are you
of this
kidding?
Turkey. And then they're rubbing butter all over the outside of the turkey, too. That's the only thing they're using, because that's the only thing she knows how to cook with is butter.
Why don't they just skip the turkey and just serve butter?
why don't they find a recipe?
They do just eat butter out of the tub sometimes.
No.
Listen to them slathering this turkey with butter.
I'm going to show you. Once. Mm-hmm. And we got to give him a night matad.
That's the word massage she's trying to say.
A lot of butter. Butter makes everything better.
More butter.
All right, more butter, more better. Now listen to what June does next. And this is a secret recipe inside their household.
No.
Do it again. Warm it up.
At least we know that part will be moist.
She's sneezing all over the turkey.
What?
Just
she doesn't turn or put her hand over her mouth or
right into it, and then she just says, "Well, at least that part will be moist because she's just practically blowing chunks into this turkey."
Who's hungry?
Well, the turkey they make with the butter and every single other item that is going to be served at their Thanksgiving dinner comes out of a can because again, June doesn't cook.
Hope and pray to God this can opener don't go out. If it's not in the can, it's not for us. It's easy, quick meals. Make it from scratch ain't for me. My way of homemade is straight out of the can and straight to the plate, so it's homemade.
All right, so let's hear what they're going to be getting out of cans to go with their Thanksgiving meal at Honey Boo Boo's house.
Because I make it at my house. I have canned beans, I have corn, I have the peas, the jelly, and so it'll be probably about 50 cans opened up. I'm not going to cook a huge meal because it's just going to be us.
Okay, it's just the family. It's like six people. She's opening 50 cans. 50 cans.
Oh, my God.
For like six people. Not kidding.
But they're all fat.
They eat outside. I wish we had more time because they set up picnic tables outside and they take an old blanket that has dog poop on it to use as the tablecloth. I'm not kidding about that. And then after dinner, the only way you know that a Thanksgiving dinner is successful is how much burping.
Oh no.
Happens at the table.
I'm gonna go first. That was pretty good. I mean, your meal's good.
Because this is going to be my first Thanksgiving cooking, so we're going to make our own traditions, kind of like the first Thanksgiving was years ago.
Well, sure. One of the traditions that they've decided that they're going to start at Honey Boo Boo's house, and this won't surprise you at all because you remember what happened when they were making pumpkins last week for Halloween, is food fight. They just stand and just start emptying bowls over each other's heads and just start throwing food at each other. And it's just, it turns into a nightmare. It's just a melee. Thank God they eat outside, right?
Oh, my I guess God. That's why.
Thank God they eat outside. And I never saw Nugget again after that meal either.
No,
and
Nugget's
I don't know what happened to Nugget, but not good things. Well, next week, guys, apparently it's the New Year's special.
Their clock's a little off, considering that was the Thanksgiving episode from when? When did
from
that
Sunday.
Air?
That was
from
on Sunday night.
Sunday
night. Sunday night. I don't know
Skipped
what happened.
Right over. Skipped
yeah,
right
New
over.
Year's, New Year's is right around the corner.
All right.
Wow. All right. Good. Hit it, Steve.
All right.
And now it's time for a moment with Kevin.
I'm Lisa May with K-Rock Traffic.
Thank you, Lisa. Thank you, Lisa.
It's awesome. And number four, ladies and gentlemen, for 2013.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
Thank you, Lysia.
You're welcome.
She's or whatever new. Your name is.
She's new. I don't remember.
You're new. Lysia. Who's named Lysia?
Not a person on Earth.
Some Greek.
Not
Greek
one
character
person.
From the Odyssey? Lysia?
You think I'm quoting from the Odyssey?
Yes, I know you're a big Homer fan.
The Roastmaster General, Jeff Ross, joins us in studio coming up right after the top of the hour here on K-Rock. First, though, time for another look at the Showbiz Beat. Here's Ralph.
Oh, did you watch The Bachelor last night?
No.
Oh, some sweet, sweet Bachelor action was going on last night. I'll tell you, Amanda is nuts.
Which one is she?
And he better look out for her because I think she is bad news. She's the surly one who won't talk to anyone on the couch. She's in the house with the girl. She just stares at them. No. And when he shows up, she's like, oh, hi, how are you? It's like she goes into a catatonic
Weird.
State when he's not around. Yeah, yeah. There's going to be bloodshed. Yeah.
I doubt it. Is my girl with the one arm still on the show?
Sarah's still on the show. She got the first one-on-one date and the rose last night. I was very happy for her. She is a beautiful girl.
Yeah, she's local, too. Lives in L.A.
But she only has one arm.
She's down a wing.
And she got to jump off a building, a 35-story building, with The Bachelor last night. A free fall off a building, 35 feet.
Is that good?
It's awesome. Mm. I'd love to do that. But it was very exciting last night. And you know me, I'm a big KCB fan from Ben season.
Sure.
And she's back. But I gotta think Desiree is my go-to girl. I think I'm a big Desiree fan right now.
And now it's time for the showbiz. Here's Rob.
That is showbiz news, man. The Bachelor, hottest show on TV.
Take it easy.
It's no Joe Schmo. But still, very entertaining show. This makes me happy. This makes me very, very happy. Britney Spears is coming back to live performing. You know, we all missed out on an opportunity to see her live at the last tour, but now we get to see her in Vegas. Word is, coming out of Vegas, that she's very close to signing a residency deal with Caesars Palace. And for those of you who aren't familiar, I guess Caesars was the first major casino to do this with a performer. They brought Celine Dion, and that was their famous big deal.
Oh, that's right.
They built her a brand new theater, and they signed her for, I don't know, a multi-year, maybe in 5 years or something like that, and made her a very, very wealthy woman. And it was an experiment at the time to see if you had one performer playing at your casino all the time, could you get the draw of bringing in various performers throughout the year?
Because you'd think enough people come through that town, even in a week.
Let the audience come to you, right? And then after that, it was, it was Elton John,
right?
It was
Cher,
Garth Brooks, and just everybody was doing it, yeah.
So now Britney apparently very close to signing a deal with Caesars Palace that would be a two-year deal, 80 shows a year, $100 million.
Jesus.
Huh? For 2 years' worth of work.
Did you say $100 million?
Yes. They would give her the penthouse apartment at Caesars as well, so she could stay there, and they could lock her in after the show and make sure she was going to be there for the next night, I guess would be good.
And, I think she'd have a watcher.
You can
follow her around.
She will have an armed guard outside her door at all times, I'm sure.
Imagine how sad her boyfriend that she just dumped is, by the way. She's getting a $100 million paycheck.
He could have cashed in. Where it is, the average ticket price to see Britney Spears at Caesars Palace, should this deal go through, $650 a ticket.
Huh?
$650.
That's not possible. That's got to be front row or some BS backstage.
You know what you can do in Vegas for $650?
Yeah.
I know what you can do with six different girls for $650.
That's good for like a mid-range hooker and an eight ball you could get for $650. You know, not a top one. Not like a super hot one, but like a six. She'd be like a six. And she'd bring her own blow. $650. Boom. You got yourself a party right there.
Or see Brit Brit sing that Baby One More Time song again.
That's right.
Lip sync
to that.
Yeah.
While she shakes her jiggly ass around on stage. We were saying earlier in the show when we talked about this, would anyone spend that kind of money? And someone wrote in and said they saw Garth Brooks in Vegas. He did a residency there at the Wynn, I believe.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
$700.
Oh, my God. But he appeals to a much older audience, I would think, who might have the money.
Yes.
I don't know that Britney does.
That's true. That's a good point. Maybe her demo doesn't have that kind of coin.
I would like to ask if any concert is worth $700, but I guess it's only if $700 means the same to you as it does to me. I guess that's not a fair question.
How rich are you?
Right.
And are you willing to flop down $700 to see your favorite performers? I can't think of anyone I'd pay $700
because the Stones were getting that for their reunion, their 50th anniversary reunion tour. They were getting $700 a ticket.
Yeah. And I assure you, the vast majority of people who are spending that for the Stones had seen the Stones before.
Sure.
That's the thing, too. If it's a once-in-a-lifetime thing, you know, if Led Zeppelin's getting back together or something and you want to spend that kind of money, I could see it. But the Stones have been touring every year for 60 years.
Yeah.
Well, we'll wait and see how Caesars does, if this deal does indeed go through. Meanwhile, let's take a look at celebrity birthdays. Mario Van Peebles is 56 years old today. Actor James Nesbitt, very talented British actor. He is 48 years old. Chad Lowe turns 45. Regina King of Southland, which is returning to our TV soon, is 42 years old. Eddie Cahill from CSI New York is 35. Howie Day, is 32. Pitbull turns 32 as well. Skrillex is 25. And Lisa of Lisa, Lisa and the Cult Jam turns 46 years old.
That's their best song.
No. We don't have any time to play their best song, but we will.
Too bad.
We will in an hour. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
There's no way that Jeff Ross gets headphones over that afro. What the hell is going on with your hair, man?
I have to bring my own headphones.
Seriously. What's happening? You look more homeless every time we see you. Or is Comedy Central not paying you?
I look like the bigger Lebowski right now.
Jeff Ross is a guy who is on TV and yet... He's a perfect example of a guy who's given up.
Yes.
It doesn't matter.
On looking good. A guy who's just said, you know what? I'm not going to look good.
Let me tell you the truth.
So I'm not going to shower. I'm not going to shave.
I thought about getting my act together.
Right.
And then I saw the jokes that my writers were writing, and they weren't as funny as ones about my hair and me being fat. I was like, if I got in shape.
Your act is gone.
There's nothing there.
No. Fat is funnier.
I like when the celebrities get to make fun, the comics get to make fun of me. And if I look too good, they don't have any. Well,
so you're worried about looking too good.
I don't
That's
think there's
your
a,
issue. You're worried about
danger
that. That.
I'm unselfish. I want to be a good target. If I'm going to dish it out, I have to be able to take it.
All right. I can see that.
And by the way, just for the record, I think I look great.
And this is what's weird. And this is, of course, the voice of our friend Jeffrey Ross here on the Kevin and Bean Show. New episode of The Burn airs tonight at 10:30 on Comedy Central. And we will discuss at length that episode. But here's the thing. Usually when somebody in the public eye starts to look like you, we all get nervous because we all think, oh, he's got a drug problem or he's got depression or something like that. And we feel like you're going to end up like Chris Farley or somebody, you know?
I'm not that fat.
No, you're not at
all. No, but you're working on it. But
you're
working on it.
No,
but the showering, the shaving and the hair. I'm talking about the whole package here, Jeff.
He
but what I'm saying is
I'm hungover.
You don't know.
You haven't been hungover for a year, though. What's happening? All I'm saying is you sound fine. You're sharp as ever. You still are showing up. You're still working. You're still funny. But there's something going on that you're not telling us.
I've been doing yoga.
No, you haven't.
Frozen yoga.
Right.
Heath Bar Crunch every morning.
I remember when you were telling us about The Burn, and you were so excited that it was coming on TV. And then it appeared, and it was a big hit, and now you're back for your second season. Are you loving it?
I've never had a second season of anything, so I'm beyond excited. I love making the show, and I love talking about it. I love hanging out with the comics every week. Dreams.
And it's, I mean, it's, it seems like this is the beautiful thing about this is not like they took Jeff Ross and crammed him into somebody else's concept. I mean, this is so in your wheelhouse. This is everything that you love about comedy.
I love it because we can go no holds barred. Comedy Central hasn't censored me or the comics once. It's been
That's
a
nice.
Very safe haven to talk about anything. Tonight on the show, I go to a meeting, an actual meeting of highly sensitive people. From Culver City, and I teach them how to take a joke.
That's great.
Well, wait, you're the right guy for that.
Where is there a meeting of highly sensitive people?
There's a place called Share in Culver City where they have all sorts of self-help meetings and support groups.
That's the strangest thing I've ever heard.
And, you know, yeah, my cousin Ed is our researcher. He finds these things, and we roast all the people, whatever we want, really.
So the people who are there to learn how to get a thicker skin, you teach them by harassing them and making jokes at their expense.
I had a safety bell that they could hit when the jokes got too mean.
Jeff, yeah. Who are these people that are such pussies that they can't survive in the world without a course like this?
It's a good question, but I think they represent all of us. There's a guy on the show tonight named Michael who lost his wife 8 years ago, and he hasn't gotten over it. And we talk a little bit about, you know, how humor can maybe help him sort of see a new perspective and maybe laugh at himself a little bit, and that's the goal. Uh-huh. Comedy comes from pain, as you guys know.
Sure.
You're here on funny days when you can talk about, you know, strippers falling over balconies in Cleveland. but what about the days where, you know, there's more sadder
things? We make stuff up.
Exactly.
So did you fail with any of these people?
A couple
of
them.
Were they like, whoa, that hurts too much, back off?
There was a couple there who didn't take it as well, but it was pretty fun. I think you'll get a kick out of seeing it tonight.
Well, I do love the taped pieces where you go out, not only where you go out and roast people on the street, which is just great, but you know, like the Share group that you're talking about, or last week with the Westboro Baptist Church. I mean, uh-huh. That, I don't know that I've ever seen anyone kind of approach it that way. Usually people try to debate them or argue with them or shout them down, but you basically went out there. What was your approach when you actually literally stood in front of the church in Kansas?
Well, I love the troops, you know, I'm always thinking about the soldiers and their lives. And when they protested at those military funerals and then tried again in Newtown at those funerals, I just couldn't believe that I was going to be in Kansas City over Christmas. So I said, you know what, boy, do these people have emotions? Do they have a sense of humor? Do they have feelings?
No.
And I just couldn't imagine how people could be so unkind.
Like who they could be. Who are they really?
Exactly. Yeah. So I think it was more of an adventure for me to see that. I've never met someone who's like a hater like that. Mm-hmm. I didn't think I had. And I got a stomach ache going there and being in front of them. But I did roast them on their turf, which I thought would be at least interesting to watch. And two of them came out with signs, with my, you know, fully prepared. All they care about is that they get their message on TV.
Right.
Which, you know. I guess I let them do that, but by the same token, maybe we learned a little bit about them. And
they tried hard not to laugh at you, but you did get them a couple of times they couldn't stop themselves.
Yeah, I think the joke that got them was, I said, always exercising your first, it's the only exercise in the First Amendment is the only exercise you guys get or something like that. One of them was kind of fat. Yeah, there were some good jokes. I said, how does it know, the Phelps family, Westboro, how does it feel knowing that you're the most hated family in America, and that includes Medea's family?
did you get the feeling that you mentioned they brought signs because they hate you because you're part of the liberal Hollywood establishment, or at least they would have us believe that. Do you feel like they really did see you as somebody who was representing their enemy, or is it just something that they go, well, this will get us on TV. This is our act. I guess we better pretend we hate Jeff Ross.
Yeah, no, it's not an act. They were definitely very serious, and any chance getting the message about their hateful message across, they would take. I think they laughed despite themselves, which I found encouraging as a human being that they're
sure.
Not, I don't know, animals, even though they're obviously heartless.
Yeah.
And I thought it was, at least for me, it was, I don't know, it was chilling.
Yeah, I was going to say, for me, I would have gone after him harder.
Yeah.
I would have been angry.
Well, then I thought about
that. You know
what
I mean?
And that just, it wouldn't have been me. And I don't think I would have put that on television, you know, me just
Just set them on fire.
That's
or something?
That's not what I do. So I thought, well, let me roast them, which is and do some really edgy jokes on their turf, which is my First Amendment prerogative.
Right, exactly.
So well, I figured I could do a more symbolic thing. I actually brought some signs that I didn't use in the piece, but my girlfriend and her little brothers, we held them up. They said stuff like, "Watch the burn in hell." you know, and ones that kind
of see, because the name of his show is The Burn.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And we had one that said support our troops and one that said God loves everybody because they always write other
right.
stuff.
Right, yeah.
And,
right. The opposite of.
And and we had one that said I love Justin Bieber just for fun.
The Burn with Jeffrey Ross is on tonight on Comedy Central with a brand new episode at 10:30 or 7:30, depending on your cable or satellite setup. Jeff is here. We'll talk more right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Our friend Jeffrey Ross in studio with us on the program right now, back on your TV on Comedy Central. The show is called The Burn with Jeff Ross, now into season number 2. By the way, I didn't realize that I was on the website this morning, but there's even more stuff on the Comedy Central Burn portion of the website that doesn't make the TV, right? Do you film for much longer than what we see on the television, Jeff?
Just the parts with the other comedians. I like to riff for a long time. It's tough to shut people up once they're rolling, and it's a great show. The tapings are really fun. So, yeah, we just roll for an hour.
Just put whatever you have to cut out.
Don't even have – I mean, it's just we put only in the home runs. Milton Berle once told me after my first roast, he said they only remember the home runs. So we make a show of just home runs.
You just dropped Milton Berle's name.
Yeah.
That happened.
Comedy legend. Hey, what'd you think of Tina Fey and Amy Poehler hosting the Golden Globes, by the way?
I only saw part of it, and what I saw was hilarious.
I mean, talk about home runs. I don't think they had a bit that missed that night. I thought they were just great.
I remember one joke about Meryl Streep being great in the flu.
That was great. She stole it.
Yeah.
Did you hear the Catherine Bigelow joke?
No, I missed that.
That was great. She said, I'm not really keeping up with the whole thing about torture, but when
the controversy over Zero Dark 30.
When it comes to torture, I trust a woman who was married to James Cameron for 3 years. and everybody was like, whoa. That was awesome.
Roasty. Yeah. Yeah. It's a movement.
Yeah, that's definitely in your wheel. House. Now, one of the other segments on the Burn tonight is, and I can't believe you're doing this, but the Ladies of the View.
Mm.
Now, I've seen you on their show before, and you always play very nice with them. Are we turning the tables? What's happening?
I don't know. I just started rolling my iPhone outside the ladies' room, and what? They started coming out like a clown car right before taping. So I'll catch Whoopi, and they all talk very dirty. It's not like, you know, their show. On my show, we could almost say anything.
Right.
So, yeah, Whoopi gives me a little lesson on how to her huh-huh. Yeah.
But do you want to her?
Well, you know, it was fun. And
is the answer to that.
Yeah, it was cute. Little Elizabeth in her Ugg boots and her braless shirt. She looked hot. And it was fun. And Joy Behar, her helmet looked great. Yeah, we do that tonight. We do highly sensitive people. Taylor Swift's breakup with a guy from One Direction. Basically, she's breaking up with two guys per song at this point.
Well, she's very busy. She's got a lot of business to take care of. So.
Yeah,
she has a lot of songs to write.
They were fighting a lot when their menstrual cycle synced up. It was weird. Or in the One Direction guy. Yeah.
Are you all a Twitter at Kim Kardashian being pregnant? Is that rocking your whole world, Jeff?
Well, that was our opening last week. Gave us a great, you know. It was basically New Year's advice to spay and neuter your Kardashian.
Yeah, that's very
good advice.
But by the way, I do want to give a shout out to Kris Jenner and Bruce Jenner. Going to be grandmothers for the first time.
See, Beer Mug, the reason that's funny.
You guys are fun.
Who's the stripper that you didn't have time on the TV, but it's on the website that you roasted last year?
Actually, some of the jokes will be on the show tonight. It was a stripper named Laura. Who died in Cleveland this week. She was doing a lap dance and spun over a balcony and landed on the dance floor below, and she burst into glitter and died.
Is that a joke?
No, it really happened.
Well,
that's our too soon segment for this week.
Oh.
Yeah, no, there wasn't a dry hump in the house. It was...
No, nobody wants dead strippers, Jeff. Come on.
It was sad. And her parents always told her, Laura, you need something to fall back on.
Oh, my God.
No, it's sad. The stripper name is Geronimo.
Oh.
Never too soon on the burn.
Too soon. Now you know why it's called too soon. Now that you're in production of the TV show, are you? Is it keeping you close to home? You're not out on the road or anything right
that
now.
That part's
right?
been interesting. Yeah, I've had to sort of stay home and focus. I didn't want to be running around on the weekends while I was doing the burn. I wanted to be able to, you know, stay up late and drink with Bob Saget like I did last night. And
sure.
I work out the jokes at the comedy clubs because I want the burn to be the hardest jokes on TV. And I think we're achieving that right now.
I think so, too. Do you have a lady in your life, Jeff?
Yes, I'm dating somebody.
That's shocking.
That was her.
Oh, God, Bean.
Wow.
Why is that shocking?
What a dick.
No, I'm just saying because, A, look at you, but, B, you're obviously very, very busy, very, very committed to your career right now. I'm just surprised by that. You don't strike me as a guy I see with a chick on his arm. That's all.
Hey, man, this is, comics. You know, you can make a lady laugh at herself. You can make her do anything.
All right. Right.
Yeah, like Ralph always says, torture the race.
Ralph always says, make her laugh, make her breakfast. That's his motto. So, yeah. Well, congratulations
like that.
On that. Won't last, but I'm happy for you for right now.
You guys are nice.
You guys are nice. Hey, don't really make me feel good about myself. Bean.
Here I am kicking ass, taking over my show.
You are. You are. And we love your show.
I'm on a roll.
Yeah.
I'm on a roll.
Well, I just know what
buttered roll, a buttered roll.
I just don't want you to get too happy with yourself. That's all, Jeff.
You're right, because when comics get happy, they're not as funny.
Yeah, so it ruins everything.
That's good advice.
The secret to Saget's success is everyone he's ever known has died. So that's why he continues to be so funny.
Last night we ate and got drunk at Craig's restaurant on Melrose, and that's going to be one of our friendly fires for next week.
Nice.
Saget made 8 toasts in 2 hours. It was great. It was the best. And then for the first time ever, I picked up the check.
Wow.
Wow. Yeah.
I don't even know you anymore, Ron.
I threw my back out. It was hard.
The show is called The Burn, and trust me, it is hilarious. It's one of my very favorites on Comedy Central with a brand new episode tonight. Jeffrey Ross, ladies and gentlemen, stopping by the Kevin and Bean.
Thank you,
always
Kevin
great
and
to
Bean.
See you, sir.
Thank
you all for getting the word.
Ralph Garman is here. Time for a final look at the Showbiz Beat on a Tuesday. Kevin and Bean Show. Good morning, Ralph.
Good morning, boys and girls. Interesting list from Rolling Stone magazine this morning of the top 10 most annoying things you can do at a concert.
Is this the Rolling Stone with Jimmy Kimmel's ass on the front
it
of it?
It is the very same Rolling Stone.
All right.
That's why
no one
I
needs
found
to see
this
that.
On the website. I could not bear myself to actually look at that magazine. I could not bring myself to do it. Here is the list from Rolling Stone magazine of the top 10 most annoying concert behaviors. The number 10, yelling sit down at the people who are standing up enjoying themselves.
Oh, that drives me crazy.
Sit down!
Now
I paid for the seat, man. I paid for the seat. You're in my way.
That is an all-time battle in that there are a fair number of people who believe that if you go to a concert, you should be allowed to sit down and watch it.
If you want to
are
sit down,
just
feel
wrong?
Free. Sit down. If you want to sit down, feel free. But if I'm standing up, shaking my groove thang, don't harsh my mellow, man.
And it's almost always when everyone is standing up.
Yes, it's invariably the one guy who's just all sullen-faced, sitting there bitching that people are standing
up. If 100% of the people are sitting down and there's one dude that's standing up, maybe yell sit down, but
that's right.
That's about it. If you want to sit down, stay at home.
Number 9, film the entire show on your iPhone. Don't do that. It's annoying. You're at a live event. You paid money to be at a live event watching a band. If you want to watch them on video, wait till the concert's on DVD and sit your ass at home.
I have always wondered, it just seems like you wouldn't enjoy the show as much if you're looking at it through your phone.
No, the sound would be crappy and it would be shaky.
And do people really watch it again on their phone?
That's the next question is, how often have you really captured a show that you've been grateful that you saved on your phone?
Gather all your friends and family around your phone and just turn it on, sit there for 3 hours.
Everybody's getting sick. Because it's shaking all over the place.
Number 8, stop complaining loudly after the show because the band didn't play your favorite song.
Mm. Yeah.
On their way to the parking lot, like, dude, can't believe they didn't play that thrift shop song about buying that shirt. It's awesome. Don't get so drunk you puke.
That's pretty much good advice all the time.
Don't push your way to the front of the crowd. Look, if people have gotten there early and it's a G8 situation and they're there, you just lose. You
That's
lose,
right.
sir. Good
Stand
day, sir.
You.
Don't yell out Freebird.
Bean. Bean.
You know Bean's that guy.
Never, ever stops being funny.
Yelling out requests to the band. They know what they're going to play. They have their set list. The songs are in order that they chose. Stop it.
They're also aware of their hits. You know which ones
they know which
people
ones
like.
People sold well. incessantly talking to your friends that are attending the show.
Oh,
with
that
you.
Drives me crazy.
Shut up.
You see that all the time. You wonder why you're even there if all you're going to do is yell over the music to talk to the person.
So anyway, Mandy said to me, I couldn't believe it. Aaron the fan forgot her, and Mandy said to me that she would not go out and miss her drinks afterwards. I couldn't believe it.
You know what's almost worse than that? People who talk to people on the cell phone show. The person's not even there and you're talking.
And they have to yell just in order to be heard.
I'm at a show!
It's amazing! Checking email, Facebook, Twitter every couple of minutes. Stop.
Dave.
Dave.
King of Mexico.
Number one, taking pictures the entire freaking show. Stop it. Stop it. And as we looked at this list, we realized that Dave the King of Mexico was guilty of almost every single one of these. And some more that weren't even listed here.
Yeah.
Like, you know, peeing in the mosh pit and stuff like that.
Allegedly. Yeah. Allegedly. And by the way, Dave, God bless him, he takes pictures that shows on an iPad. So he's that guy. He's that guy.
Oh, it was just a big setup for this email from Brad Willingham.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Listener Brad, who sent us the following email. It's one thing to video the show on your camera or take pictures, but how'd you like to be behind the douchebag who has to film it on his iPad?
Yep.
Dude, I can't even see the effing stage, he puts in parentheses, and he included a photograph of the King of Mexico holding up.
He has a picture of Dave doing this.
This is Dave.
It is Dave.
Holding up his iPad.
Oh, my God.
Taking pictures and videos of the concert, and this poor bastard was stuck behind the King of Mexico while he has the iPad, which is about the size of a... of like a Panasonic television you would have in your home.
Yeah, it's not a mini. It's not an iPad mini. It's a full-size.
Holding it up, taking photos and videos
of
the concert.
It was one time I was working!
Listen to him. He's mad at us.
Yeah, right.
Suck it, listener!
This poor bastard paid money for a K-Rock show, and he's got the King of Mexico up with his IMAX-size iPad.
His head's
photos.
As big as mine to begin with.
Oh, I was working! Are you ever working, ever?
You can take a little point and shoot. Those take perfectly good pictures. Yeah,
absolutely.
You don't need an iPad.
He's a dick.
Yeah, that's what we're saying. Lady Lohan is apparently getting very serious with Max George of The Wanted. Is he getting serious with her, though, is the question. Yeah. TMZ.com reporting that he took her home to meet his parents in Manchester, England last week.
Are we sure she didn't just follow him?
Maybe he was just going home for dinner.
Yeah.
She stowed away in his luggage or something. So maybe she found true love. You don't know, man.
We know.
Could this be true? Star Magazine is reporting that Kim Kardashian was leaving the gym the other day, and she received a police escort after her workout to Jamba Juice.
Gosh, I hope not. Let's get somebody on from whoever that police department was to get a comment.
Well, if they did it, they're not going to tell you.
Well, don't they have to?
I don't know.
I would think they work for us.
Well,
not technically.
Yeah, I mean, I guess in a roundabout way, but
that's awesome. Not even home, just Jamba Juice.
Yeah.
By the way, I hate Kim Kardashian. I hate everything about her, and I don't care about her, and I don't want to hear about her. But she was on the Today Show today, and I have the TV on, as you know.
Mm-hmm.
God damn, she's gorgeous.
Thanks for that update, Bean.
So pretty.
She is a beautiful girl.
I forget because I tune her out. I don't look at those articles. I don't care about. She was on my TV today, and I was struck with how gorgeous she is. I guess that's why we're all so fascinated with her, right?
Yeah. And lastly, and you know, I play this role quite often where I'll read you some showbiz story about some TV show or movie being made, and I'm pretending it all furious, and oh, how can they do this? This is horrible. What are they thinking?
Worst idea ever.
And it's a shtick that's worked for me for many years now, and I don't mind doing it. But in this case, people,
this case is real. I am
genuinely furious.
It's on.
I want to thank our good friend Michael Schneider over at TVGuide.com who sent me this story this morning knowing it would make me angry. I think he did it on purpose just to get me fired up. Said, I just posted this, wanted you to have it for the final showbiz beat. NBC announcing they are giving a sitcom
to
Jessica Simpson.
A sitcom?
A sitcom where she will play a character much like herself.
Are you
And it will be
kidding?
A sitcom about her wacky life.
No.
Being a mom. Being a wacky mom. She is going to get her own sitcom.
How many episodes will that go? I'm going to say 3.
NBC should be ashamed of themselves. And the producer of the piece, of this piece of television, had the balls to say in the interview, Jessica Simpson has a Lucille Ball quality to her. F you, you son of a bitch. This Silverman guy who runs Electus, who used to work for NBC, now he's got his own production company. Oh, yes, she's got a Lucille Ball quality. Everyone who's ever seen an episode of I Love Lucy should come up to you and kick you in the nads, sir. Just because we pointed and laughed at her when she was on that Newlywed show and she was a moron, and we made fun of her and laughed, does not mean that she can be on a sitcom and make us laugh on purpose. Anyone with half a brain would recognize that.
Yeah.
And the fact that there are funny actresses out there and funny writers out there who can't get a television gig, and they're going to give a sitcom to a bloated, weak-ass, has-been clothes designer Jessica Simpson is an insult to people who enjoy television. I am incensed.
How do you think LaQuisha's going to feel about it?
She's going to be miserable. I'm sure you guys will make her watch it.
It's getting more like communism, saying we're going to do this and do that.
Somebody at NBC should show up with a shoebox, and inside that shoebox should be the Dukes of Hazzard, an Employee of the Month, and any other time Jessica Simpson has attempted to act, and put those down on the conference room table and say, F you all, I'm out of here.
You're all fired.
No, they should just quit. Oh. They should quit and just get into another line of work. My head exploded when I read that. That's not even like she's red hot, like everybody's talking about her.
Yeah, she's been on the news for a long time. Except for being fat.
And having babies.
Yeah.
Wow. And if being fat and having babies is the only criteria to get a sitcom on NBC, then by all means, give Roseanne Barr another shot. Because at least I know she's funny. Madness. Madness. It's the end of the world, people. The Mayans were right. We mistranslated what their calendar said.
They were off by a bit?
It said society will end in 2012, not the world. Civilization as we know it. Madness.
And you're in show business, Ralph.
Barely.
But I bet you know personally five women even that are very talented and very funny and very smart and just need a break.
Any one of the actresses on Joe Schmo that airs tonight on Spike TV would blossom given that opportunity. It would just be an awesome choice to give a sitcom to. And just sheerly out of the fact that Jessica Simpson is a name and face that we recognize, it's not...
That has to be the whole thing.
That has to be the whole thing, and yeah. It's not okay to give someone, especially a sitcom. A reality show, whatever, I can understand that. But you're gonna write and produce a comedy built around her. Anyway, you can go to TVGuide.com if you want to get as angry as I am. You can go there and check out that story. Today's celebrity birthday: Skrillex is 25 years old today. Rapper Pitbull turns 32. Eddie Cahill, very talented actor from CSI New York, is 35. Regina King, she's on Southland, so good on that show. Man,
she's
I
good.
Missed that show. Looking forward to it coming back. 42 years old, Chad Lowe. Talented actor and brother of Rob. He is 45 years old. James Nesbitt, British actor, 48. Mario Van Peebles turns 56. And Lisa of Lisa, Lisa and the Cult Jam celebrates her 46th birthday today. Do we have time? Do we have time for a little Lisa?
Yes, we do.
I wish we did.
Yes, we do.
I
said I wish we did. Give
me a little Yeah. Oh, see, now it's good. I feel all the anger about Jessica Simpson just washing away from
that
me.
That is crap music.
I had a little Lisa. Now, okay. All right. I'm centered again. I'm good. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean show. We have Nick Kroll in the studio. We have Adam Carolla on the program with This Week in Rage. And we also have very special guests in the 8 o'clock hour. Make sure and tune in for Dave Grohl and Corey Taylor.
Nice.
We're behind a movie called Sound City.
Oh, I can't wait to see this film.
And it looks awesome, and we can't wait to have those guys in.
Let me mention this just real fast again, because this was new information on today's Kevin and Bean show. The Los Angeles premiere of Sound City, which, by the way, is going to be in theaters. You can also, you know, get it on iTunes or Amazon or something like that. You can pre-order it now. It's super cheap. That's going to be January 31st at the Cinerama Dome. That's when they're going to actually show the movie. But immediately after that, there's going to be a concert at the Palladium by what they're billing as the Sound City Players, which features all the members of the Foo Fighters, along with a bunch of special guests. Ralph, Rick Springfield is going to be there.
Also, John Fogerty and Stevie Nicks, and of course, Leaving from Fear, Brad Wilk from Rage Against the Machine, and a whole bunch of other people. This is going to be a one-time-only concert. You can buy tickets to that tomorrow at noon via Ticketmaster. This is brand-new information here on The Kevin and Bean Show. You can get all that details at krock.com or kevinandbean.com. Dave and Corey, tomorrow morning, right here on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.